much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We're gonna do this.
Yeah.
We're gonna do this, even though we know there is only one way this ends. Whether in a week or 20 years, there is horrible sadness and pain coming, and we're inviting it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I just feel low, lost, confused, distracted, dreary, disturbed. I guess that's it.
Down the cheer up. Things ain't so bad.
Club going up. On a Tuesday, got your girl in the cutting sheet. Tuesday club going up on a Tuesday.
And now,
you know, I think we can send a message and say, you want to be in America? A, you better be here legally or you're out of here. B, when you're here, let's speak American.
Our feature presentation.
She's got a good point. I mean, we should speak American, right?
Absolutely.
I'm with her. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday. It is September the 8th.
She wants to be, I don't know if you guys watched that interview with former vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin, former governor of Alaska Sarah Palin. She is gunning for a cabinet position in the Trump administration.
Okay.
So we're going to get two for the price of one.
Sure.
And she wants to be energy secretary so that she can dismantle the energy department.
What?
Yes, that's what she said. Said she wants to be the energy secretary so she can close it down. And let states start making all their own decisions about energy. So that's her plan.
That seems odd that you would want to take over something and then end it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, I'm all for smaller government. Maybe
sure.
That's a start. But anyway, she's a delight. How's everybody? How's everybody's weekend?
Very good. Thank you. You?
Fine.
I support 3-day weekends. I am – when I'm president, 3-day weekends.
All right. I like it.
I like
now,
it
see,
too.
That I would vote for.
Thank you.
I never got around to my plan, if you recall, Friday, was that I was going to huff it up and then do the thing.
Right.
And I kept meaning to get to that, but then you know how the time just goes by.
You didn't have time to even huff it up?
Yeah, I get to it this afternoon, I thought, and then the next thing you know, you're walking the dog or something, you go, oh, now I'm tired, I wait, maybe I'll do it tonight, and then you go to bed early, and then the next day you get up and you got all these other things to do, and I never got around to huffing it up or doing the thing, so...
Wow.
This is very disappointing. I mean, I feel like I had 3 days and I had so little on the calendar.
Yeah.
The least I could have done is take care of those things.
Or half of one.
Right.
Right?
Just exactly. Huff some.
Yeah.
You don't have to huff it up.
Yeah.
Just half-hearted huff.
The young man that everyone was talking about on Friday is named Robert Wright. He gets us started on today's Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. He lives in Fresno. And he's the guy, Kevin, I know you saw him on the news, who ran into a burning building to save his ribs. Now, what I love about him is that, and I don't know if you noticed this, I don't know if you watched the story or not, is that he was not involved in the fire. He lives in a 6-unit apartment complex in Fresno. The fire broke out in the building next door. Coincidentally, he, at the time of the fire breaking out and the police and fire responding, was cooking ribs in his apartment. It was 2:30 in the morning.
At 2:30 in the morning.
Are there any circumstances that you can imagine where you would be cooking ribs at 2:30 in the morning?
I can't imagine, because even if you stay up late, you like to party or whatever, don't you eat like a little earlier and then maybe drink?
It wasn't for work. Like he brought it into work. The
nothing
next day,
in
or?
The story said, and he didn't say it was for work. It was just he was cooking his ribs.
He was hungry. He says he was hungry. He says it's well. I'll play the interview from the guy.
Oh, no, he's so good.
I think you'll fall in love with a man, right, man? You think you'll fall in love with a man? You think you'll enjoy hearing him, man? Let's see, man.
Oh man, it all went down, man. I stayed right next door, man. From the thing that happened, man. A barbecue, man. I was barbecuing, man. I seen some fire just come out the window, man. The window busted out, man. Only thing I think first, man. Make sure the ribs is right. And I ran in and got my family, man. Brung everybody out safely, man. I carry everybody out myself, man. You know what I mean? Keep this PG, everybody, myself, man. I did that.
By the way, to Mr. Wright's credit, he did take the people out of the apartment and make sure they were out first before he went back in for the ribs. So it's not like it was ribs first and then girlfriend and kids second.
Okay, but hold your thought for a second. Mm-hmm. His first thought was, I got to make sure these ribs is right.
Yes, that was his first
thought.
But then he thought better of it and went in and got the people.
All right,
right?
Good.
Do you love him yet, Allie?
I love him so much. I'm wondering, though, keeping it PG, what was he going to say about the race?
Meant by that.
He's talking about his language because he does have to be beeped later on in the interview.
Okay. Mm.
You got kids and older people out, or just kids?
Yeah, I got my kids. First day, I got my kids, and I thought about my ribs. Like, I ain't going to let my ribs burn and stuff because I take pride in what I do, man. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I was hungry, man. I was like, man, put them ribs on there, man. Some hot links and stuff, man. We got it going and stuff, but...
Again, at 3 a.m., aren't you just going through the refrigerator for leftovers at that point? Nobody is starting to cook at 3 a.m.
It's a process, too. Rip.
And also, like 10% of that conversation was him talking about his kids again. He was like, yeah, I got the kids out, but the ribs.
But let me tell you about
the ribs, man. I take pride in what I do.
I looked over, man. The fire was bursting out, man. I was like, man, this is crazy, man. Real crazy. Man, let me get my kids up out the situation, man. That's all I know. You feel me? And I'm from the Bay Area, man. You know I'm located in the Bay Area. You feel me? Out here now, but yeah, I'm from the Bay, man. They call me West Oakland, man, you know. But I'm going to keep things going, man. Keep going.
I'm curious why that's relevant.
that he's from the Bay Area now,
from West Oakland, but now he's in Fresno. Like, what's the deep background this reporter needs on a guy who ran out of his apartment with a rib? I wonder.
I don't know, because he makes it sound like that's what kept him on his toes.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's why he thought so fast.
Curious information to share.
You know, but it was frantic, man. It was real serious out there, man. It was real serious, man. But yeah, man, I'm enjoying this barbecue, though, man. Have a good night, man. Hopefully they put us in the motel, man. You know what I mean? Because I ain't trying to come out the pockets. They owe me for that one. You feel me?
I do love that despite the fact that his 3 a.m. meal was interrupted by having to evacuate his apartment, he still plans on eating those ribs.
Oh, he wants those ribs. He's very hungry.
He's still hungry. Once they get him settled in a motel, man, he's going to chop on down.
But did you get any injuries yourself?
Did I get any injuries?
Yeah, you get
any. Oh, no, I ain't get no injuries and stuff except for all the smoke in my lungs and stuff. I already had smoke in my lungs, so I'm all right.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all.
But by the way, he's holding a giant slab of ribs through the whole interview. That's my favorite part. I don't know how big it is, how heavy it is, but a giant slab of ribs that he's holding. So the camera can see the ribs.
Well,
it's a lot of meat, as Allie so often says.
Oh, I love him so much. I love him so much.
You feel me?
You feel me? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Bean Show, shall we?
No. Make better choices.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.
Yeah.
Joins us. We normally do that on Tuesdays, but this is, Mondays, but this is Tuesday, and we didn't have work yesterday, so we're getting him on the program.
Glad you explained that.
Because I'm from Oakland.
Bay Area, man. Represent.
We're going to catch up with Beer Mugs and his fantastic Uber career. I mean, he is on fire. I've never seen a guy flourish like this.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I can't believe we're able to keep him working here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, he's just doing it now for fun.
Yeah, I think that must be it. He's doing us a favor because he gets out of here, he drives a little Uber, and then spends the rest of his day just stacking cash.
Like you do. Also on the program today, we have a new episode of Who's the Dick? When Bean mingles with any human beings, there's always some type of conflict.
Sure.
Well, let's not say conflict as much as misunderstanding, perhaps.
Misunderstanding, okay.
Right.
So then Bean tells us about that, and then we all vote who was at fault in this particular situation. Mm-hmm. And I believe, are we 100% Bean is wrong? Are we 100% Bean Dick?
Well, I mean.
I mean, so far.
You voted that way.
Right.
Doesn't mean you're right. Doesn't mean I was the dick, but that's how you have perceived it.
It's how everyone perceived it. All right.
We'll talk about it today.
We'll talk about it. We also have Aya Cash and Chris Gere in studio talking about the TV show You're the Worst, which finally comes back tomorrow night. Very excited about that. We have Uriah Faber in studio. He is one of the coaches for The Ultimate Fighter, and he's coaching against Conor McGregor.
Oh. That's all I'll say. Sorry, Uriah.
You don't ever want to be in a position where Conor McGregor turns his attention toward you. Mm-mm. That just doesn't seem good. So we're going to talk to him about that today. We also have the Bachelor in Paradise report. Last night was the season finale.
Thank God.
Thank God. What are we going to do for love? What are we going to do for romance?
I don't know anything about the BIP from last night, except that one of the contestants did say at the end of the show, Aloha, Mexico. That's the only thing I know. And that may be enough.
That's all you need. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
What about the Foo Fighters, you guys?
What about the Foo Fighters?
What about them?
What about them?
They're fantastic live.
They're foolicious.
coming to Southern California for four sold-out dates, two at the Forum and two at the Honda Center. We are giving away tickets all this week here on K-Rock, and there are two different ways you can win. One is every time you hear a Foo Fighters song, you just pick up the phone and give us a call. And the other is you just give us a call. Right now, we're going to play a game just after 6 o'clock. If you want to go,
call now, 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
If you know Foo Fighters music, that'll help a lot. Your chance early this Tuesday morning to win your way in to see Foo Fighters in concert. Call K-Rock right now, 1-800-520-1067. Hey, Ralph Garman.
I've decided I'm going to boycott and protest the Foo Fighters show.
You're going to boycott and protest?
I'm going to get out.
It's a surprise because you've been a fan historically.
I'm going to get out there. I'm going to get my signs, and I'm going to protest the Foo Fighters show.
What are you going to protest exactly?
I haven't decided yet.
Okay.
But it's going to be a very sizable an attention-grabbing protest.
Okay, why?
Because that way, the guys will get in a pickup truck and come and do something funny for me.
I see. All
you
right.
You want to be Rickrolled.
I do. I want something to happen. I want Dave and Taylor and Pat and
Chris,
Jimmy, to all hop in the back of a truck and then come by and then just park in front of me and do something hilarious.
All right.
I want a little personal attention from the Foos. So apparently that's how you get it. If you protest, they'll come out and they'll entertain you personally.
Gotta find something. They gotta find a cause.
I know. I'm trying to think.
I don't think you want to go the way of the Westboro Baptist
cancer.
Church.
Prostate cancer.
Okay.
I'm pro.
No,
I'm
for it.
You're
pro.
Yeah, okay. I'll show them. Yeah. Yay! Down with small walnut-sized glands. All right, maybe I'll work on that.
Good luck with that.
Something else. So wait and see. This broke my heart. It broke my heart a little bit, and then the other half of my feeling regarding the story was just tremendous hope and anticipation.
Okay.
John Hamm and his actress, producer, writer, girlfriend, Jennifer Westfeldt, have called it quits after 18 years of being together. Which saddens me, because I met John and Jennifer just briefly, and they seemed like a lovely couple, and by all accounts, they're just one of Hollywood's greatest, nicest people. But now, Hamm is single. That's all I'm thinking.
Oh, that's the upside.
The upside
he's got a shot
for me is now he's probably lonely. He's probably, looking for some company. You know, he wants a shoulder to cry on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You feel you're his type based on...
Give me some of that ham.
Based on the pretty blonde lady he's been dating for 18 years?
Give me some of that ham.
Okay.
Make me a ham all sandwich.
Right. Ralph wants ham. Got it.
I got the buns. You got the ham.
Right.
Just love me some John Hamm.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper is still a Philly boy at heart. God bless you, Coop.
He beat someone
Philly
up.
Philly Pride, how dare you? How dare you, sir?
He killed a robot?
If it wasn't this early in the morning, I would thrash you soundly for casting such aspersions upon my homeland. No, he spent the Labor Day weekend down the Jersey Shore. It's all good Philadelphians do. He was there over the weekend at a family get-together in beautiful Brigantine, New Jersey, where apparently his mom has a house. The only thing that made it a little bit different was he was hanging out at the local restaurants and bars with his girlfriend, Irina Shayk. Victoria's Secret Supermodel Irina Shayk.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something right now. As a man who spent many a summer down the Jersey Shore, Irina Shayk is the hottest girl that's ever been in Brigantine, New Jersey. Hottest by far. And they said there was a lot of PDA going on, and everyone saw them being very happy and very much in love together. So, congratulations, you crazy
kids. I don't know if you've talked to your boy Dave Sanchez, but he was casting serious aspersions on the state of Pennsylvania today as a result of his weekend there where he ate a bunch of steak. And he's doing nothing but complaining about it. Apparently they put steak on all food in Pennsylvania.
Well, listen, he was on the wrong coast.
Mm-hmm. We flew to Philly, but then he had to drive to Pittsburgh.
Drive to Pittsburgh, right.
First of all.
You don't go there?
That's why they don't even fly to Pittsburgh.
Right?
There's no plane to go there. That's how bad it is. That's where you don't want to go, is Pittsburgh. You have to go to Philadelphia. You have to drive or take a wagon train or something to get there because the traffic is so easy going in because it's so busy the other side of the road of people going
coming
out.
Coming out, yeah.
So you don't go to Pittsburgh. That's all I'm saying. So
all right.
His error. There.
Good tip.
Yeah. They put steak on everything?
That's what he
confused.
Said. Confused. Yeah. All the salads, I guess. Steak.
Here's an idea. Sound like... Say, give me just a salad.
You
can
say no
steak,
steak.
Please.
It seems
no,
like that would...
I couldn't do that. So much stack.
It doesn't seem that difficult.
He's just describing meals that are many layers. Some of them are French fries, and some of them are steak, and some of them
eat
are
a
cake.
Lot of stack.
Yeah.
In Pittsburgh.
I feel like maybe that's a user error. I feel like maybe that's King's problem.
And they are flying the flag at half-mast over in rerun land today. A lot of old-timey TV favorites passed away over the weekend.
Oh, no!
Wait, let's see. See what it is.
If you ever grew up watching the reruns of Adam 12, one of the best cop shows on television, Adam 12. Ah, oh, love me some Adam 12. Pete Malloy of Adam 12, Martin Milner, passed away over the weekend.
I don't know, do I? I don't feel that. Go ahead.
LAPD confirmed his death with an Instagram post reading, Pete Malloy, you are end of watch.
No.
Yep. Wow.
Really?
That's
LAPD?
Yes. That is a solemn and honored send-off.
Wow.
When they say that about you.
He's a famous...
Allie, what are you doing with that famous look on your face?
I wouldn't think the LAPD would do that. That's interesting.
Adam 12 was one of the best commercials the LAPD ever had.
Okay.
Two stalwart young officers for the Los Angeles Police Department. You don't know, man.
I don't.
And Judy Carn of Laugh-In fame also passed away. Cute little Brit who was very funny on that show and sexy as hell. She married Burt Reynolds for a minute.
Okay.
And then life went downhill. You know, heroin, prescription forgery, you know, that sort of thing.
Sure.
Didn't turn out so well for Judy, but she passed
away. She's super dead.
It's true. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Martin Freeman. So good all the time, always so good.
In everything.
Yes. You know him as a Hobbit.
Yep.
You know him from the original Office. You know him from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You know him.
Sherlock.
Sherlock, right. Played Watson on that series. Talented guy. 44 years old today. David Arquette is also 44 years old. Pink, 36 years old. Wiz Khalifa celebrates 28 years.
Get me.
Wiz. Wiz, when are we smoking? Where are we smoking later?
You tell me.
I can do it right now.
And he did.
And Wiz kept walking.
Beer mug was 27. And Avicii. Hey, Avicii, how you doing? Avicii, how's it going for you, Avicii?
He's not Italian.
What?
No.
How is he not Italian? He's like Avicii. Doesn't... Hey, Avicii, how's it going for you, Avicii? How about some pasta fazool? Hey, come on over and mange my house.
What is he, Swedish?
What?
Swiss? I don't know.
Come on.
What is he being?
He's got to be Italian with a name like Avicii.
He's not.
I don't know where he's from.
I don't
from.
Think he is.
Hmm.
Pretty sure he's not.
Do a little research.
All right.
Maybe I'll protest Avicii outside the Foo Fighters.
Excellent.
Show.
Good.
I'll get big anti-Avicii signs.
Kevin was correct. He is from Sweden.
Look at that. He's Swedish or Swiss? All we know is there's a sw. He might be Swahili. There's a sw somewhere
hey,
in his nationality.
Two of the answers that I threw out was right.
Yes,
that's
they was.
Pretty good for me.
Two of them was right. Two was.
That's right.
Two was right.
One was right of the two I gave.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
They are possibly the biggest rock band in the world these days, Foo Fighters. They got to be in the conversation, don't they?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
In terms of tickets sold, I mean, they got to be... You know, like Metallica, there's a couple other, not very many rock bands out there getting it done, but the Foos always put on a great show. They have four sold-out Southern California dates, and we want to give you a chance to win your way in right now on the Kevin and Bean Show with a game we call Just a Second.
Just a Second!
All right, Kevin.
That's it. That's the whole thing.
You want to explain how this one works?
We're going to play Just a Second of a Foo Fighter song. You just have to give us the title. So it's a tiny little clip. You give us the title. You go into the drawing. You win the tickets. Jose is first from Northridge. Hi, Jose.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
How are you this fine day, Jose? All right.
Good talking to you. Hey, is this going to be as it is sometimes the first second of the Foo Fighters song?
I think.
We don't know. We're not sure. All right, Jose. Play it for you twice. Then you tell us the title of this Foo Fighters song. You go into the drawing to win your way in. Good luck, sir.
One more time.
He seems like he's not on the phone
he's
anymore.
He's gone. He hung up.
Seems like he's gone. Or someone hung up.
I did.
Who between Kevin and Jose is most famous for hanging up the phone?
How dare you? I wasn't even touching it.
That would have been times like these, by the way, had Jose been on the line still to take a guess, but we'll move on to the next one.
I feel like it was good he dropped.
Really?
I didn't drop him, but I feel like it probably worked out for the best.
Okay.
Steve, hi. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
This is going well.
I think so.
Hello, this
Steve.
Me.
Okay. Don't hang up, okay? Let us play this clip for you twice, then you tell us the name of the song, all right?
All right, I'll give it a shot.
Here we go.
Don't hang up. Kevin, you too. Don't hang up.
You're talking over the clip.
I didn't know you were going to hit it.
Well, what's that? The next thing I'm going to do?
Right, I'll play it twice for him.
Nora's going to play it.
Well, because I was in the middle of a sentence. That's why. Steve, any ideas?
How about Learn to Fly?
No, I'm sorry. That's Rope. That's how it starts twice. Yeah, there you go.
Thanks for playing, though.
All right. I feel like this is going well. Mike.
I do, too.
In Diamond Bar. Hi there.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
It's not going well, if we're going to be honest. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Here's just a second. One more time.
Monkey Ranch.
Oh, look at that. I already said it. Well done.
You are in the drawing. You're one step closer to winning your way into a Foo Fighters show. They're playing the Honda Center and the Forum. Who's next?
Tim in Long Beach. Hi there.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
This is...
Just a second!
That's what's going on. You ready?
Hey, yeah, I'm ready, man.
Here's your Foo Fighters song. One more time. And then the name of that song is...
Hero.
DOA. That's DOA.
Thanks for playing, though. All right. So far, just one in the draw. We've got a couple more, though.
Let's go to Misty in San Pedro. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm awake.
All right.
Good for you.
That's more than the first two people. Okay, good. Only one person has got it so far. Here is your song. It's one second of a Foo Fighters song. One more time.
Oh, my God. Times Like These. Oh, my God.
All my life.
Yeah.
That's what we were looking for. Thank you, though, Misty.
All right. Let's go to Grace in South El Monte. Hi, Grace.
Hi, how are you?
We are good.
Look, I know this game is tough, and I know it's the pressure's on when you're on the phone and you're the contestant, but these are some of the biggest songs from one of the biggest bands in the world. I mean, these are legit.
Yes, they are.
All right. Here you go, Grace. Good luck.
All right. I've got enough.
That answers our question. They're all at the beginning.
Both of you?
Yes.
I've got another confession to make.
That was bound to come up eventually.
Yep. Well done, Grace. Hang on. You're in the drawing.
All right. Let's go to Jay in Anaheim. Hi, Jay.
Hello. How are you doing?
We are good. You ready?
Yep.
One more time.
Everlong.
Nicely done.
Now we're rolling. All right. How about one more?
One more. This would be Sid in Tustin. Hi, Sid.
Morning.
Welcome to
Just a Second.
Here's your song. One more time.
Learn to Fly.
There you go.
There you go.
All right.
It was a rough start. It was a rough start.
Picked up some steam, though. Sid is in the drawing, as is Jay. Also, Grace and Mike. Only one will win tickets for Foo Fighters from the Kevin Bean Show right now. Miss Ellen McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Mike. Congratulations.
Mike. Congratulations, Mike.
Yes, thank you, guys.
You're going to see the Foo Fighters, which is going to be fantastic. Thanks you for listening, and thanks for playing.
Just a second.
Ladies and gentlemen, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, putting up the video of the man with the 19-inch penis. He is our new hero. Harvey, my God, have you ever seen anything like it? Have you ever seen anything like it?
No. It was... I got to tell you, I was the last person on my staff to look at this thing. It was just, as Mike Walters was describing it, it was like, dude, I just
No, that's...
I was the first, strangely.
That goes on everywhere, which is, did you see this? And like, no, I'm not sure I want... Oh, yeah, you want... Oh, no, I'm not sure. Oh, yes, you do.
Look, it was one thing to read the interview with that poor guy from Mexico. We all saw the story a couple days before where he talked about how it had ruined his life and he couldn't have a relationship and it made it hard to work. And you thought, ah, quit your bitch and your penis is too big. Then you see the video and you go, oh, my God, this guy is handicapped. I mean, that was a nightmare.
It is. Absolutely.
Now it's wrapped. What is it wrapped in? What is it?
Well,
it's wrapped somehow.
It's somehow like in a towel or something. I don't know. I mean, look, here's what I can tell you. I can tell you that you're right. It is, you know, he says it really is a disability. But the head of Vivid came to the rescue. he is offering him corrective surgery for free, even if he doesn't take him up on his offer. Steve Hirsch has made him an offer to do porn, which would be interesting, right? This is a 2-pound. By the way, we're talking about a 2-pound penis.
Yeah, he weighs it.
Yep.
Yeah, and then he hits himself in the face.
Without getting into any kind of details, Harvey, I don't think it would be possible for him to have sex with a woman, would it?
No, apparently not. Apparently not. You're right. I mean, this is a disability. I mean, it's one of those things where you laugh and you laugh and you laugh, and then you all of a sudden you think, oh my God, it really is bad.
Can you imagine going through life like that?
Yeah, no. And he's 53 years old, 52 years old. So, this is a disability.
It is. And you know what's really weird, and we're not going to spend too much more time on this because I know it's not everyone's favorite topic, but what's really weird is that the guy who has generally been acknowledged to have the largest penis in the world is like 13 inches, that guy, that Falcon guy that you've had on. How is there such a disparity between that 13 and this guy's 19? Like, where are all the people in between? This guy is the freakiest of the freaks.
What do you think? I'm like GPS for penises?
I'm just saying, it's weird.
How do you expect me to answer that question?
Harvey didn't
put up an exhaustive list. He just put up a video of a dude.
I want you to marvel at it the way I have, which is it's just so shocking. It's like if the tallest man in the world is 8 feet and then all of a sudden the 12-foot guy shows up. It's just so shocking. That's all.
Okay.
Do some research, Harvey.
All right. One final question on this, Harvey, and that is, what was the discussion like? Was there a discussion about whether you would put this on your site or not?
Yeah, I mean, there was. And, you know, this is, you know, look, this guy has been in the news, and this is a, you know, this is a real thing. I mean, this is not like it's a real thing. And, you know, it's interesting that he is getting this, you know, significant offer from Vivid, and now it's interesting that Vivid is, I don't know whether Steve Hirsch is looking at this and just saying, oh my God, this is just terrible, but he's going to give this guy money for surgery whether he takes him up on the offer.
Oh, he is. Okay,
that's great.
And then when does he want to do the porn, before or after the surgery?
I don't think
come on, Harvey.
I don't think there's
do some research.
Do some research.
you keep saying one more question.
Damn it, man.
I know.
All right, one more question before
we move on. No, we're done with it.
We're so fascinated by it now.
You keep saying.
All right. Okay.
But this really
this
is the
time
last
we
question.
Mean it.
Okay.
This really is, though. How did that post do on your site, Harvey?
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It had to be one of the biggest posts ever, right?
Great stuff. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about something that's brand new. It's up at TMZ.com right now. I had not seen or heard any of these details before, but I guess we shouldn't be surprised with the phenomenal success of one of the summer's biggest movies, Straight Outta Compton. Straight Outta Compton 2 is going to happen. You have a photo of the new cast. Man, they are not wasting any time getting into this.
No, and it's really kind of awesome. They're in a recording studio right now, and they're actually starting to shoot this thing. So they're in a recording studio. Let me just pull the story up, and I'll tell you who's in it.
Do they even have a script yet, Harvey?
Well, apparently they have something because they were in a studio shooting this thing. So the characters are going to be Daz Dillinger, Dr. Dre, Suge Knight, the Lady of Rage, Tupac, and Corrupt. And we got various people playing them in this recording studio over the weekend, but we've got a shot of this cast. And, you know, look, is it really a surprise that they're going to be doing a sequel to this thing? I mean, this was a huge success.
Is this Death Row Records? Is that what they're going to focus on this one? Do you know?
Well, I don't know the script, but obviously Suge's in there. But yeah, I think they are going to focus on Death Row. I mean, that's certainly the way it looks from the way the cast is right now. So it looks like it is. And by the way, the Lady of Rage, that's really her in these pictures that we're showing.
Oh, I was going to say, wow, nailed it. But it's her.
Just like that.
Exactly.
You know, it's so interesting,
Harvey, because Tupac has just become such a legend since his passing. I mean, there are so many people out there who love him. That I mean, that's going to be having somebody play him in the movie. That is going to be a tremendous benefit to this film in terms of box office, don't you think?
Absolutely. This could do better than the first one, just because now there's a real appetite for it, and I think people are really interested. And sometimes, you know, depending on what the buzz is, but if this is really kind of an extension of the story, I think this is actually going to do better.
Did I see right that the Dr. Dre's son is playing Dr. Dre?
Yeah, it's Curtis. He's playing Dr. Dre.
A little odd in that Ice Cube's son played, and another guy played Dr. Dre. Mm-hmm. Do you think his son came to him and said, "Hey, Dad,
what are you saying?"
Hey, Cube put his kid in the movie.
Right.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, listen, nepotism in some ways kind of works for this one. If the kid can act.
Oh, I agree.
It does kind of work.
Sure. All right, Harvey Levin on the line from...
Are you guys watching Narcos?
I was going to ask about that, Harvey. I hear it is great.
So good. It is really? it is the best thing on TV.
This is a series on Netflix, right?
Oh, it is so good. It's just amazing.
All right. There's your tip.
We'll get on that.
Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. Don't forget TMZ on Fox Channel 11. TMZ Live airs at 4 o'clock, and TMZ Hollywood Sports airs Monday through Friday on The Reels channel. Hey, thanks for enduring all the penis talk. Keep doing the good work that you're doing, Harvey. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys.
Tuesday means the Bachelor in Paradise report coming up at 8 o'clock this morning with Petros Papadakis and Ralph Garman. I guess that show's gone, you guys. I guess we're all out of Bachelor in Paradise.
Mm.
Also from You're the Worst on FXX, Aya Cash and Chris Gere are going to be here. Uriah Faber on the program, and an all-new edition of Who's the Dick? It's all coming up on the Kevin DeBee Show on K-Rock.
We were having a conversation on Friday after the show about Jimmy Kimmel's beard.
I think he married her because he loves her, by the way. I think that's rude for you to even suggest that he's kind of cover up.
Literal
anything.
Beard.
No, he's growing
God's
a beard.
For God's sakes, they've got a child together,
no,
Kevin.
I'm saying he's facial hair. I'm saying he has facial.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Yes. So Bean brought it up, and we all agreed that it looks homeless. He looks like a homeless dude. He's like 5 days from homeless.
We did not all
agree. He's on homeless street. When he gets there,
Kevin is
he'll be
absolutely
homeless.
Right. He looks like he no longer cares about his appearance or the show.
Nope.
Right.
He's probably stopped brushing his teeth. He stopped combing his hair. I bet they force him into a suit right before he goes on. He's probably showing up in his pajamas or less every day. He just looks like he's given up.
It's over, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm thinking, poor Jimmy, he had such a good run. He seems so young to be on this path. So we point that out because that's obvious and true and indisputable. And then Allie and I guess Christine, assistant producer Christine, who joins us in studio.
Hey, guys.
You had an alternate theory that doesn't hold water.
That he looks smoking hot.
So hot.
What? Right?
No.
Yep.
Wait. Based on what?
Right, based on his face?
All right, but wait. Are you saying he's always been hot, or this actually is helping?
This is definitely helping.
For sure.
I always thought he was a cute, good-looking guy. Now, hot. Oh, smoking hot. Jimmy Kimmel,
because you can see less of his face than before?
No, he looks manly. He looks rugged. He looks like he could chop down a tree and make me a home.
Is that what you're looking for?
That got weird.
I need someone to chop down a tree and make me a home.
Christine, you agree?
100%.
Please explain.
You know, I think, like you were saying, like, did you think he was hot before? I don't think I thought about it before.
Right.
It was just that, Jimmy has been so nice.
Right.
From the very first time I met him many, many years ago. Super nice, super funny, super cool.
Genuinely good dude.
Genuinely great dude.
Yes.
But I don't know what it is. Like, suddenly, like... And I felt weird about it. I was like, oh, you know, like it was just an unexpected surprise.
Okay, let's go back and talk about the beard. Is it the type of beard do you guys normally like beards?
Sometimes.
I
do. You do.
I do. It depends on the person, but I think overall a beard can help you.
It definitely depends. Like sometimes definitely yes and sometimes definitely
okay.
no.
Okay, is this a very good beard?
It's a good beard. Because
it's on the way to getting very good.
It looks patchy to me.
I feel like it's not a good beard at all. And well, I love Jimmy, but...
You don't want him to build you a home, like I do.
Well, I don't. That's true.
By the way, I would love to hear from any other ladies, or our friend Micah, either one, if you want to call us at 1-800-520-1067. If you agree that Jimmy Kimmel is suddenly hot with the beard. Let me read this piece that was posted late last week on Defamer, defamer.com. The headline, Jimmy Kimmel is hot now. Have you been paying attention to Jimmy Kimmel lately? I hope not. There are much better things going on. Anyway, let me update you on some Jimmy Kimmel news. You might want to F him now.
What?
Recently, Jimmy Kimmel has appeared on his television show in a beard. This is how he looks now. And then they put up a picture of him with his beard. This is how he normally looks. With the beard, Kimmel looks slightly haggard, but kind of hot. Without the beard, he looks like Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, wow.
Here's some screenshots of Kimmel to prove how strong a look this beard is. And to think that several people engaged in sex with Jimmy Kimmel before this moment. And then they have all these tweets from girls all over the world. This one writes, is Jimmy Kimmel with a beard super hot or am I just super drunk? That's from a girl, by the way, whose name is Allie, I should point out.
Oh, wow.
Allie Janssen. Sarah writes in, Jimmy Kimmel looks so hot with a beard. What the heck? Jamie writes in, so is it just me or is Jimmy Kimmel hot with a beard? It just goes on and on and on from all these people who are coming to the same realization that you are, but I just don't understand it. Look, it's not like it's John Hamm, somebody who looks like a model, and then you put a beard on him. He looks like a model with a beard. This is Jimmy. This is just Jimmy.
Listen, I can't explain it, but he definitely looks hotter with the beard.
Huh. Now, do you think that beard would save me or save
no,
Kevin?
Absolutely
no.
Not.
No, don't
no,
be
why?
Ridiculous.
Not even a little.
Why? We could be not hot and then put a beard on. Why would that make us hot?
You know what? Maybe it would. Let's try it.
I'd rather not be thrown into that conversation with Bean, if you don't mind.
Okay.
No, but I'm just saying.
I'd rather not think about you guys in that way at all. No.
Christine, like you can help it.
But Christine, like you said, you never thought about Jimmy in that way either. He was just a friend of yours, just a guy you knew who was a regular-looking guy. All of a sudden, he put a beard on him, and he's Thor. I'm just wondering if that would
totally
work for the rest
is Thor.
Of us.
He's
yeah.
not Thor.
Yeah, his hammer is huge, you guys.
All right, let's talk to Cindy. Let's see what she's got to add to this. She's on line one calling from L.A.
Hey, Cindy.
Hey, how are you?
Well, we're good. We're confused.
Confused.
No, I think he's way hotter with the beard. I don't know what it is, but I used to always think he was okay. Now I caught him with the beard, and I was like, whoa, who's that?
Right?
Isn't that something? And you don't know why that is. It's just you can't explain it. He just all of a sudden just a light switch went off, and you went, wow, all of a sudden Jimmy Kimmel's attractive.
Yeah, it's the funniest thing. It's got to be the beard. It's not for everybody. It works on him.
All right. Huh. It's not for everybody. She's throwing that out there for you, Bean. Nope, doesn't always work. But it seems to be working with him.
Thank you, Sydney. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate the call. Hey, I wonder if this was planned. Like, I wonder if they had a meeting and they said, oh, you know what? You got to try the beard. Or did he just get lazy and just stop shaving? Because, look, very few things on television are not focus grouped, Kevin.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering
very
if
true.
This is a plan to make Jimmy more attractive to bring the ladies in.
But if it was a plan, wouldn't they have made a better beard?
I think he's just stuck with what he can do.
I think he's growing it. I don't think he has any choice of it being better.
Look, I'm just saying.
Part of what's weird is that with talk show hosts, almost always when you see them with a beard, it's because they're on vacation. Like, that's when you used to see the Letterman beard and the Stephen Colbert beard, those the Jon Stewart beard. And then they always shave when they come back to the show.
Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert beards.
The Colbert beard was very manly. He did videos, and he was total dude.
It helped him, so it helped him.
I think he's hot, period. Right. So it just accentuated the hotness. But there's something about stubble. It's like, I don't care. I don't care what you're thinking right now.
Right.
That's what it is. Like, yeah, I don't care either. Put it on me. It's just,
build me
it's
a home.
Good. Build me a home.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
What's good, you guys? What's good?
Harvey, where are all the penises? Harvey, I want to see more penises. Where are all those large penises,
we
Harvey?
Bean
Harvey
was a dog with a bow.
No pun intended.
We're talking about the guy with the world's largest penis.
Right, and that wasn't enough for you. You wanted to know where all the other large penises were. Where are those? Where are those videos you demanded?
My point is that it was just shocking that one would turn up that shatters the previous world record.
I know, and your hunger for other large penises was disturbing.
Bean's gotta know.
No, gotta know. Even when it comes to penises, he's gotta know.
You're getting us off track here, Ralph. We're opening up the phone lines.
I don't
want
to hear that ever come out of your mouth.
You can call us right now.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
I love you.
Although we're not giving anything away this time around, we are going to give you the opportunity to give us a call and add to the show, bring up something that you want to talk about, maybe something that we've missed, something we haven't talked about. What are the parameters here, you guys?
Listen, I'm just thinking the show can't cover all subjects every day. So there's got to be things on people's minds that will not be addressed on today's show. So here's an opportunity to hear from people what they're thinking about. What's going on? What happened over the weekend? What's happening in the news? What happened in your life that you want to talk about, that you want to share, that you think we are not paying enough attention to?
Okay. UCLA football, for instance,
boom,
comes to mind. Something we don't have room for on today's show. Maybe somebody's
Temple University beating Penn State for the first time in 75 years.
Well, I'm not sure that's on any.
Come on! Go Owls!
So you go Owls.
Owls.
Temple
you
Owls.
Can call us on any topic except for Temple.
I'm calling in. I'm going to call in this next day when we talk about the Temple Owls.
So 1-800-520-1067. That's the number here at K-Rock. You want to get on the show and talk about whatever you want to talk about. We'll take your calls coming up just after 7. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Cosby's alma mater.
Yeah.
The Temple mm-hmm. University.
Right.
A lot of people are sending me emails and texts and tweets and telegrams.
People are sending you telegrams?
Yes, the telegram boy was just here.
He's a telegram
gave
boy?
No tip.
Wow.
He was very upset. Saying, where are the weekend's box office? I can't start my week without hearing you talk about the weekend box office. I said, that's a Monday thing. It's not a Tuesday thing. It's still the one start of the week. I need to hear it. All right, people. You freaking Pavlov's dogs, yeah? Here you go.
Well, Ralph, you can't find that anywhere else.
Top 10 movies at the box office. War Room, number one. Jesus Wins. War Room. War Room. Story of a shattered marriage that gets saved by Jesus. Comes down, does the wobbly H with him, everything's good. Life moves on. I'm not sure. I didn't see the film. But Jesus plays a big role, I know that much.
Right, but double check the wobbly H.
Maybe
if
it's
mind.
Prayer.
Okay.
It might be prayer.
Yeah.
Anyway, number one in its big debut, wider debut, $9.4 million over the weekend. $12.5 million for the four-day weekend. So, War Room, congratulations, Jesus. Straight Out of Compton, second. A lot of Jesus in that, too.
Not as much,
not
though.
As much. A Walk in the Woods. Robert Redford and Nick Nolte Walking in the Woods was third at the box office. That makes me happy for so many reasons. Just it's incongruous. Let's take a walk in the woods, Bob. What do you say?
How's that a movie?
We're going to walk in the woods. It's going to be great. I got a stick here, and I'm going to just push myself up the hill. What do you say, Bob? Come on, you and me together walking in the woods. It'll be great.
Another one-man show, Ralph, that I can just
Nick Nolte Walks in the Woods. Look at that. There's a tree over there. It's got leaves all over it. Unbelievable. Trail sure is rocky, and I step carefully or else I might trip, and if I trip, I'll break a hip. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. I finally got to see that over the weekend.
Really?
Finally got my ass in the theater to see Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. Boy, is that a good time.
That's
at
a
the
good
movies
time.
Right there. I enjoyed the heck out of that film. Transporter refueled. He's refueled. Fifth at the box office.
Well, Kevin, you see that this weekend?
We don't have time here, but I'd like to tell you about that a little bit later.
Well, maybe in the next show, Biz. Let's save that. Put that in the back pocket.
Wow.
No Escape, Inside Out. Un galo mus muchos huevos. Eighth. It's a kid movie. Yeah, it's a cartoon. For los niños.
Sí.
Para los niños. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Sinister 2. That rounds out your top 10 movies at the box office. Speaking of movies, breaking news. Well, it's 6 hours old, but still.
That's relative breaking.
Relatively breaking news. We now know exactly who will be singing the next James Bond theme song for Spectre. The artist is the opening envelope. And the James Bond theme
Ariana
song
Grande?
Goes to... No, not Ariana Grande.
Good guess, though.
Sam Smith will be recording the theme song for the new Bond movie. He said on his own Facebook page, "This is one of the highlights of my career. I am honored to finally announce that I will be singing the next James Bond theme song. I'm so excited to be part of this iconic British legacy and join an incredible lineup of some of my biggest musical inspirations." So congratulations, Sam Smith.
I haven't heard the song, but that sounds like a good choice.
Writings on the Wall is the name of the single. Writings on the Wall.
All right.
Yes, sir. Writings on the Wall. To open up the envelope here.
Wow.
What do you say?
Wow. When did you become 1980s Ralph?
What do you say to a graffiti artist? Writings on the wall. Yes, sir.
I didn't get much sleep last night. Today's celebrity birthdays. Martin Freeman, he is 44 years old today. David Arquette turns 44 as well. Pink, she's 36. Wiz Khalifa's 28. And the DJ, Avicii. Hey, Avicii, how you go, Avicii? What's the matter, you?
Still not Italian.
Nope. Just isn't.
Pretty sure he is.
Not still, Phil.
26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Been a while since we've done that. A free-for-all on the phones where you get to call us and talk about stuff that we don't know about or stuff that you don't think we're covering properly or at all. It's 1-800-520-1067. It's a new feature that we're going to call, if it goes well, What's Good?
What's good? Come on, pick up the phone. What's good? Let your thoughts be known. What's good? What's going on in your hood? What's good? Come on now, tell us what's good.
Miley, what's good?
What's good? That's a great question, Nikki. All right, let's start with our man Mike. He's in Northridge. He's on line one. He's up first on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program. What's going on, dude?
Yo, Kevin and Bean, what it do?
It's funny. There's a little behind the scenes is that this feature used to be called What It Do, Nephew, and then What It Do, and it was canceled by our bosses because they hated it.
Yeah.
And then we had a meeting last week, and they said, hey, why don't you guys do that anymore? And we were like,
because you hated it, so you made us cancel it. And I think it was originally What Is Your Deal,
right.
I think is how it is actually the name changes, but the point is the same, is you get to tell us what's going on.
All right, Mike, what's going on?
Not much. I don't really hear too many people, I mean, besides on ESPN, talking about Venus and Serena about to go at it today. Huge sibling rivalry, man. Serena chasing major history.
Now, Serena is trying to win a calendar Grand Slam. That's what she's going for, winning all four major tennis tournaments in the same year, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, but she has to get past Venus to do it.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody in the tournament actually even has a chance on beating Serena except for Venus, and really, that's still not very much of a chance. That's like two chances, zero and none.
Can I ask a qualifying question?
Go ahead.
Is this tennis?
I'm sorry?
Are we talking about tennis?
Yes, we're talking about tennis.
It's huge, though. It's the U.S. Open. It's the quarterfinals today. It's sibling rivalry. A lot at stake. Come on. It's the local late. We love the Williams sisters. Come on, Kevin. Get on board.
Well, are you going to watch it, Allie?
I am. Absolutely.
Shoot. I was counting on a different answer.
It's kind of crazy not to watch it, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, look, really? It is tennis.
It's tennis.
It is tennis, but it is tennis with Serena and Venus Williams playing for something that matters. I'm gonna allow it, Mike.
Wow,
I'm gonna allow it.
I'm gonna allow it.
Mike is not asking if you'll allow it. He's saying this is a huge deal, and it is.
We appreciate the call, sir. Thank you so much.
Look,
for listening.
We said any topic, but we meant any topic minus tennis.
Come on,
I think that's a fair rule.
1-800-520. Oh, what am I talking about? Let me let Doe do it.
Sure.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
On any topic to ask what's good, let's go down to Oregon, or in your case, up to Oregon for John, who's on line two. He's next.
Hey, John.
What it do, baby boo?
What's going on?
What's good?
Hey, I have a problem this morning because the guy that cleans my house shrunk my pants and had an event. So I have to go serve homeless people in booty-type jeans. I like to talk about that.
Well, that's a little bit of a thrill for the homeless people. They're not only getting food, they get a chance to look at your sweet ass.
Well, they say that weekly, but this week's going to be extra special, and I feel kind of good about it.
Now, John, the guy that cleans your house, did he really shrink them, or did you just get fat? Because often claim that my people have shrunk something, but really, I've just eaten a lot
of carbs. You just put on some LBs?
Yeah.
All I know is it's not a good look. You know what I mean?
Right.
I hear you, John.
Right, but we're saying you're blaming it on somebody else, and we're asking if the blame maybe lies with you.
You say Twinkies, I say it's hot water. I don't care. I still have to go serve hot meals in booty tight jeans.
Okay, so it doesn't matter. Okay. You're just worried about having to walk in the tight jeans.
Yeah.
All right.
It's been a problem.
All right, well, good luck with that, I guess. Thank you for the call, John.
Thank you guys
for
listening.
Sure.
You bet. Allie, what is your what should be the policy if you're lucky enough to have people who are taking care of your laundry?
Mm-hmm.
You allow them a certain amount of missteps, right? You don't fire somebody for shrinking something.
No.
But you can't let it happen really that often, because at some point it starts to cost you money, right?
Absolutely. I would never have someone do my laundry, though. That's just – that's personal.
Touching your undies. I agree, by the way. I'm just saying.
Gross. Just saying.
I agree.
Wait, you don't agree with that, Kevin?
Well, no, I didn't expect such a
reaction.
It's a horrific reaction. Like, that would be the worst thing ever, ever. It's a little crazy.
Hmm. Let's go to Alex. He's up next on line one, please. Chino Hills. Alex, thank you for calling.
Alex,
what's good?
Female Alex.
Hey, Alex.
Yes, that's fine. I just said Alex. I didn't put a sex on it.
Oh, I heard he, but it's okay.
All right. No.
I wanted to see, has anyone seen the Nicole Arbour fat people video?
I have, and that.
I was going to suggest we talk about that on the program tomorrow, but you beat me to it. Tell me what you're – well, explain to folks who haven't seen it what it's all about, and then tell me what you think.
Okay, Nicole Arbour's a comedian, and she's basically talking about fat people and how they're all lazy. She's trying to make – she makes a point about how it's not about people with medical conditions, but basically saying they're lazy, they all need to get off their asses, that their family cares about them, and, you know, that they need to lose weight and take care of themselves.
Yes, and she is saying that, you know, fat shaming is made up, basically. She's saying, look, you ought to embrace fat shaming because that's people trying to get you to be healthier because we love you and want you to be in the world longer. So, and it has created quite the firestorm online from people who are really angry at her, right?
Yeah, like, I think it's been both. You've had the people who are like, okay, yeah, she's trying to be funny and she's a comedian and it is funny, but yeah, you have a lot of people that are really pissed off about it and aren't very happy with her.
Well, I mean, what it basically boils down to is, how do you look at the obese? Do you look at them as people who deserve sympathy because they have a disability, or do you look at them as people who have brought it upon themselves, and if they tried a little harder, they wouldn't be so fat? I mean, that's kind of the way it's breaking into those two camps, I think, right?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what she's doing.
I'd like
she's
to know.
To say...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, she's just trying to, like, say, you know, hey, you guys need to take care of yourself, and that we're, you know, maybe we should. Oh, and that's the thing I think a lot of people get angry with, too, is she's saying, yeah, we should, if fat shaming's a thing, we should fat shame them into all being skinny, basically.
I'd like to know the percentages, really percentages of people that can't help it versus percentages of people that just eat because they want to eat, because that sort of is annoying to people who aren't heavy, because you don't eat everything you can because you'll get fat.
Because you'll get fat.
No. So I wonder what the percentages are.
She talks about how she ends up paying for it when she, you know, sits on an airplane next to somebody who's spilling over into her seat, and she wonders if it's just because that person has no self-control, or do they have some sort of medical problem. I mean, look, it's a touchy issue right now, and that is evidenced by the firestorm that she has created. My point is that she's not as funny as she thinks she is.
At all.
But she's really not.
No.
But she's so hot that I don't care. I will still watch her video.
Wow, no. Yeah,
I think it's one of those things where she's funny. Don't get me wrong, but I think she's just almost too obnoxious funny. Like, you're like, okay, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
The thing that I got out of it when she was saying fat shaming doesn't exist, it's not real, it's made up by you guys. Really? Then why are kids killing themselves over people making fun of them being bullied? It's real. It does exist, Nicole.
We were just having fun here, Allie. We were just having a good time talking about a hot chick on the internet. You had to get serious on us.
I'm just saying.
I get Allie's point. She's saying, like, okay, yeah, it is real, but it goes both ways. Are you just using that as an excuse to keep eating? Oh, they're making me eat. Now I'm stressed out because I'm now
Alex speaks truth.
She does. Alex, fantastic call. Thank you so much for dialing in. We really appreciate it. Let's just do one more because it's going to be quick. This is Mark Van Nuys. He's on line three. He's got a question, I think, for you, Kevin.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys, how you doing this morning?
We are good. What's good?
So a couple weeks ago, you guys were talking about – hold on, my fire alarm was going
off. You need help?
A couple weeks ago, you guys were talking about service animals.
Right.
Service animals.
Uh-huh.
And I sent you a tweet about helpinghandsmonkeys.org.
Yes.
It's this company that trains capuchin monkeys to help with paraplegic and quadriplegics. And if you watch the video, it's this great video of this guy who has no use of his limbs. He's got a laser pointer in his mouth. And he shoots it at the light switch. The monkey runs over and, you know, turns on the light switch.
I'm sorry, what was it? How does he do it again? I missed it.
Well, monkey noises. And he feeds his human. He does all these great things for his human and helps his human get along and be somewhat, you know, self-reliant.
It looks super helpful.
It looks amazing. But here's the thing. I work in TV lighting.
I do all the award shows. We have all these massive rigs, and we always have to get guys to climb. And it's such a pain in the butt to climb these huge trusses, you know, 90 feet in the air at the Grammys, for instance.
So you're going with monkeys?
So I'm thinking, just like dog training, there have to be some flunky monkeys.
Some flunky monkeys.
Flunky monkeys who don't, you know, they don't make the grade, but they could change a light. They could change a bulb and a light. They could plug cables in for us.
That flunky monkey.
They could chase fat people around and make them lose weight.
Now we're talking. Now
so
we're talking. Kevin, I think Mark has a great idea for his job, but I think he was also curious because I know you looked at the website that day he sent it because you've always wanted a monkey. What do you think? Are you still considering a helper monkey?
Well, I watched the video and it was like, oh, these are people who are have no use of any limbs, and I'm such an a-hole now. It made me feel bad about myself.
They make plenty of monkeys, though, Kevin. They can certainly spare one for you that you can just use for fun.
I've narrowed it to three, if that's what you're asking.
Okay. All right. We're getting a monkey. Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
Beer mug does it again, ladies and gentlemen. Another weekend, another $10,000 made driving Uber. Am I right, Mugs?
Oh, so much money, I'm rolling in it. Like Scrooge McDuck.
I'm sorry?
When did you start your Uber career?
Let's see. My Uber career started way back in June.
Okay. It wasn't that long ago, but okay.
Right.
And when was the last time you actually drove an Uber?
Way back in August.
Early August.
Yeah, early August. Yeah.
I just remember when you came in, you're like, guys, I got it. This is it. I'm off most of the hours of the day. I'm going to be working so hard driving Uber, making so much money. My life plan is coming together. And then nothing.
Well,
nothing.
Not because I'm not motivated and I'm a go-getter. It's because it's because some things have been getting in the way, you know, extracurricular activities outside of work, like, you know, I had the sticker hit thing, and
that was weeks ago.
And then you went swimming like that one day.
Yeah, I had to go swimming, you know. Physical fitness is important to me.
You wanted to smoke pot.
Physical fitness is important to me, he just said. Come on.
There was another day where you just decided to smoke pot and watch Chips reruns all day.
Terrible show, but yes, I did smoke pot.
Pot may be your enemy.
I think it is. That's why I'm quitting for a year.
Yeah, sure. When?
After my birthday.
Oh, after your birthday.
After my birthday.
Okay. Well, lately we've been hearing a spot that's been running from the fine people at Uber talking about all the ways you can make some money. Here's a little taste of that.
We've been hearing a lot about Uber lately, so we decided to get out there and talk to some actual Uber partners.
Is signing up to drive with Uber really hard?
It was simple and easy.
So if you have a phone, you can just sign up and earn money?
You just open the app whenever you feel like driving.
Sign up, drive, and you make some money.
Boom. Sign up, drive, make some money. I understand Beer Mug has made his own commercial that's going to be running soon to try to enlist other Uber drivers.
We've been hearing a lot about Uber lately, so we thought we'd get out there and talk to some actual Uber partners. We talked to Beer Mug. What's your experience been?
This is the best job I've ever had.
How much money have you made driving Uber?
Well, none yet. In fact, I'm out of pocket for insurance and I bought a new car, but I'm going to be raking it in soon.
What's the best thing about being an Uber partner?
I make my own hours. I'm my own boss.
How many hours a week do you drive for Uber?
Well, I was going to drive some this week, but I had to go swimming, and then, you know, I had to recharge my batteries from all the other things that I do. But I can't wait to get out there and be an Uber partner.
Is it hard to make money with Uber?
I wouldn't really know. I haven't really dedicated much time to it, but I've heard good things.
What do you need to do to become an Uber partner?
I'm not quite sure. I'm really just an Uber partner just in theory. But I can't wait to do it and do all the things people who do Uber, the partners of Uber, do.
Would you consider your career with Uber to be a success?
100%. I've never been happier.
Well, there you have it. That was Beer Mug, an actual Uber partner. And in retrospect, maybe a bad choice for a commercial.
Why can't I get a fair trial, you guys? Why do I have a jury that is already ready to convict me when you haven't heard one shred of evidence?
I am an impartial jurist.
Uh-huh.
Would you say that's true? I sit on the bench with great kindness and compassion for my fellow man, and I wait to hear and weigh the facts.
Okay.
Do we have the
reverb, the echo all ready to go here?
Yeah.
We have a feature, everyone.
Not yet. You asked for it, douchebag.
We have a feature that we do from time to time that we call Who's the Dick? Now, historically, in the past, you guys have always determined that I am the dick.
In our defense, yes. You're always the dick.
Right.
Not true.
I mean,
it's like saying, oh, you know, in the past, Ted Bundy was accused of all those murders that he did because the evidence pointed to all those murders that he did.
We had that guy who was walking down the middle of the street. Remember, he had his headphones on. He wasn't paying attention, and I slowed down as I drove by him.
In case you're not aware, you're in the middle of the street.
He was in the middle of the street because he didn't know, and all of a sudden, I'm trying to save a brother's life, and now I'm the dick.
You're not aware of it, but you're in the middle of the street, dick.
And then we had the guy, you'll recall, I held the door open at the 7-Eleven, and he walked on in, and I said, you're welcome. And then all of a sudden, I'm the dick.
You're welcome.
He did not say thank you, right?
Because you were scolding a guy for not saying thank you when you held the door.
You're welcome.
Here's the thing. Every time you're involved with people, things go south. And most of the time, it's on you.
Okay. Well, that's a little historical background then before we get into this new edition of a feature. Again, we like to call Who's the Dick?
By the way, that reed does not deserve reverb. There we go. Who's the Dick? You don't need reverb for that.
You want to do it, Ralph?
All right. Yes.
Why don't you try it? You try it.
Who's the dick?
So much better. That's
actually much better.
So much
better. Thank you so much.
I just lost that job too.
Who's the dick?
He's just depressed because he knows it's always him. All right, what happened?
All right. Remember last week when I was down for the meeting where we almost all got fired? Remember?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. So I leave the meeting in tears like we all did. And then I get in my little rental car and I'm driving back to LAX. And I get off at, I think it's La Tejera. You get off by the gas right there. I think it's a 76 station right there. And then you head off and drop off your rental car and you get on your little plane and you go home. Right. So I'm at the gas station and I'm putting gas in my car.
Okay. So far, so
good. And this guy, he's about, probably about 55 years old or so, African-American gentleman walks up to me while I am pumping gas, and he is holding a gas can in his hand. And he says, hey, would you mind, could you pump in like a half a gallon for me, please?
I can tell you right now that Bean is the dick.
Is there any way this story ends with you being a decent human being and giving the guy half a gallon of gas?
The guy had a container in his hand.
Is there any chance that you did the right thing in this critical case? I would say no.
Come on! Look, I understand. Everybody has problems with people who beg. Some of them, oh, who knows, they're going to take the money and just buy booze, whatever.
Right.
This guy had a container.
He's not going to drink it. He's not going to go around the corner and get loaded on half a gallon of high test.
Bean is the dick.
All right. Well, let's hear the rest of the facts.
My bad.
All right. So my initial reflex, of course, is to say, no, I'm sorry. Sure. I can't help you.
Because your default position is always, I hate people.
And it's because of what Kevin said. It's because you feel vulnerable in that situation every time you walk in or out of a 7-Eleven or something like that. All of my stories have all gone to 7-Eleven. And you're so used to being head up, and you're so used to the scammers. We've heard so many stories about the people who beg all day long and then go home to their much nicer house than yours and their nice new car. You know what I mean? You've heard those stories. So my default position was, no, sorry, I can't help you.
But then you saw he had a container for gas.
Right.
Yes.
And the angel on your shoulder said, and then try not to be a dick for once.
And then he walked over to the guy who was pumping gas on the other side of the pumps, who was another black dude.
Hold on. So I want to hear the rejection. I want to hear what happened. He came up and said, could you give me half a gallon, sir?
And I said, no, sorry, I can't help you out.
With a gas nozzle in your hand, you said, I can't help you out. How can I possibly give you any gas? It's just not possible. I can't help you out.
No way that I can see that I can actually put gas in your
hand. I can't help you.
So then he walks over to the other guy, who's another black guy, who's on the other side, and he asks the same thing. Hey, can you help me out with a half a gallon? And the guy said, no, I can't. So then I thought, well, good. At least now I'm not a racist, okay, because I turned the guy down. But then a black guy also turned the guy down.
Well, they're separate issues. Whether that guy was a racist or not is different than whether you're a racist.
Right. No. That guy was a black guy, not a black guy. Now I don't feel so bad as the white guy turning down the black guy because now we're all turning them down.
Don't get us wrong. That's what we're trying to say.
Still an option.
All right. Yeah. So even though my default position was I'm not going to help this guy out because he just bum rushed me at the pump there.
He bum rushed you.
Define bum rush.
Excuse me, sir. Can I have some gas?
You knock it to the ground and put a straw down your tank?
Wow. So suck it on it to try and get it to...
So as I started to think about it, though, as I was wrapping up my purchase and putting the cap back on and getting in my car to drive to the airport...
Let me interrupt. You said, hey, sir, I'm sorry. Come on back.
I thought better of it, and now I'm going to do the right thing.
I actually did the
cap.
I did start to think... How is there any way that this was a scam? Like, if my antenna were up because I was afraid I was being scammed, how would he scam me by asking for a half a gallon of gas? Like you said, Ralph, he's not going to drink it. Is he doing this to 80 people and that's how he's getting a free tank of gas before he drives out? Is it possible that's what he's doing?
That's what he's doing. He's stockpiling free gasoline from 80 people and then selling it on the black market.
Yes, yeah. He's reselling it.
Oh, that black market gas. Hundreds of dollars.
Why the market
got to
be black, first of all? But you're saying it is possible he was scamming
you?
No one is saying that.
I'm mocking your thought process.
Zero people would ever think, hey, maybe he's collecting enough to fill up his tank.
I'm thinking the bastard is out of gas, stuck someplace down the road, and he's just looking for a little help.
That's kind of the conclusion that I feared as I was driving away, you know, thinking about it, as I think that maybe
I saw him walking down the road with his little empty can.
The sole of his shoe flapping in the breeze.
He was carrying all of his possessions.
His back, in a hobo trundle.
All right, you know what? You know what, Bean? We're going to let you rule on this one.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, look, I don't know.
Saying you have to rule, though.
There's
no
way that I'll ever know whether he was legit or whether he was scamming. But I will say that my default position was no. But then the more I thought about it as I drove away from that poor man who's probably still on the side of La Tejera, I thought, I don't know how he was scamming, so I probably should have given him the gasoline.
That's not the question on the floor, Congressman. The question on the floor is, were you a dick?
Sorry.
I thought you were going to come with a ruling. My bad.
Can we talk to Alan real quick and see what she has to say? She's on line one. I think she wants to weigh in here real quick before we roll.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, yeah, what's up?
Who's the dick?
Oh, no, Bean's not a dick. And for the record, I am a guy. I get this a lot. I get called a girl by the bank and everything. But Bean, you're not a dick because...
Tell me how I'm not the dick.
Well, because you held the door open for somebody, and that's a stand-up, gentlemanly thing to do. And if
Wait, but that was the last story. Did you hear this
Alan,
story?
You're coming from the tube of history.
No, you're not a dick for this either. If somebody wants a free half gallon of gas, I'm sorry. The economy's tough, dude.
Wow, Alan.
But he ran out of gas. It's not like he's just looking for free gas. Yeah. He needs it for
his car. Don't you think there's a car alongside the road someplace, and the guy got a little can out of it and walked up to just try and get his car moving?
I don't know, man. It's not the 90s anymore. I didn't know people still carry little cans around.
Good
point.
It's not the 90s.
It's tough to argue that it's not the 90s.
Now in the 21st century, gas is carried in a thought bubble.
No, look, he was irresponsible. He ran out of gas. It's not Bean's job to correct society.
No, it isn't.
You're a bad dude.
But is there an ounce of kindness?
How about humanity for a fellow person down on his luck?
You know what? There is. I will buy somebody a meal. I have bought a homeless person
gas,
a meal
damn
before.
Damn it! That's where I draw the line. I'll give him food, but not petrol.
The guy wasn't asking for money, or he was offering to clean
food?
His windshield
wasn't
or whatever.
For anything.
I just don't get it. Why would he say, can you just fill this up halfway? Like, go with a full measure at least.
Because he just wanted enough to actually then get to a gas station to get his own gas.
I don't know, Bean. You're not a dick.
This is why God gave you a woman's voice, Alan, because you're a bad person.
Who said that? Who's the dick now?
All right. Bean is a dick, and caller Alan is also a dick. And the woman. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53.
Dude, we are ripping the scab off of this free gas scam that's going on down there. First of all, I heard from Kevin and Bean listener Chris, who has seen that same guy on that same corner with the gas can on numerous occasions, first of all. So what's that about?
Okay. He's just running out of gas a lot.
Secondly, Christopher points out, unless I missed something, the guy could have said, hey, I'm broken down or I'm out of gas in my car, instead of just straight up asking for free gas. You don't know. He could have been using that gas to burn a litter of kittens. So good on you, Bean.
True.
So I may have prevented a real tragedy here by turning that guy down with the gas,
He's
by the way.
He's probably one of those kitten burners we've heard
so much about.
Yes.
You don't know, man. You don't know.
That guy may have been a kitten burner. This isn't the 90s. People are not burning kittens anymore.
Hey, the Bachelor in Paradise report coming up just after 8 with our friend Petros Papadakis and Ralph Garman. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday.
Comic-Con, Comic-Con. Everybody loves Comic-Con. In Long Beach, that's where it is. Long Beach is located south of here. Hey, look out. All right, I should have maybe thought about the lyrics a little bit better. But
I like it.
The Long Beach Comic-Con is coming this weekend, September 12th and 13th at the Long Beach Convention Center. I love this con. I love all the Comic-Cons, but this one is particularly fun because it's easy to get to. The Long Beach Convention Center is a beautiful facility. It's a great event. They put it on every year, and I am always happy to be down there. I will be down there this very weekend as well. On Saturday, you can come check me out. I will be moderating a panel called Arrow Meets Agent Carter, where we talk to Hollywood super couple Tara Butters, who is one of the executive producers of Marvel's Agent Carter, and her husband, Mark Guggenheim, who is one of the executive producers of Arrow. Imagine these two living in the same house. They're just giant superpowers of television, but one's Marvel, one's DC. How can they even live together in the under the same roof?
Question one.
Right?
Question two is, would you help that dude with gas?
I will be moderating that panel at noon. Then I'll be down there signing books. We got the Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet hardback. I'll be signing autographs for folks if you want to come on out. And then there's another panel called Breaking Into Hollywood that I'll be on with a bunch of other show business professionals talking about how you can work in your chosen field if you want to be in television or movies or radio or what have you. So it's going to be a good day. That's just Saturday. But the con goes on all weekend long. And I would love to give somebody a pair of weekend passes to the Long Beach Comic Con. You'll go free on us for the whole weekend if you're one of the first five callers right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers to get through, I will give you a pair of weekend passes to the Long Beach Comic Con. And if you want to check out more information and get tickets for yourself, if you don't win, longbeachcomiccon.com is the place to go. But come on down and see me on Saturday. We're going to have a good time. I love the con there. It's really cool. You know, a lot of the cons are just dominated by television and film and stuff. And Long Beach certainly pays homage to those important areas of geekdom. But this is a lot of hardcore comic book stuff, too. Great sales there. Great sellers come down and get to meet artists and writers for comic books. So come on down. It's a good time. All right, let's talk some show business news. As I mentioned earlier, breaking news this morning is that Sam Smith is the guy who's going to sing the new James Bond theme for the movie Spectre.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
All right,
a little late.
Maybe I should have held on to this news for that. It's called Writings on the Wall is the name of the theme to Spectre. Sam Smith will be singing. He broke the news himself on his Facebook page saying it's one of the highlights of his career. And here's a guy who was in danger of losing his voice forever at one point.
That's true.
And now he has was considered one of the highest honors a British pop star certainly can have, being tapped to do a James Bond theme song. So congratulations to him.
That's real talk right there, man.
While we're talking music, I know we're giving away Foo tickets all week long for their shows at the Honda Center and also at the, where they, we're doing this?
Forum.
Forum?
Mm-hmm. Forum.
Yeah. They're just the best. They're simply the best. They're just the best. There's
right.
nobody better because they're the best.
I agree.
I don't know if you caught the video from this weekend's show at the Milton Keynes Bowl in the UK, but Foos were playing, and as they are wont to do, they brought out a couple guests on stage on Saturday night. A couple of minor players in music history, Led Zeppelin's bassist John Paul Jones and the drummer for Queen Roger Taylor joined the band for an epic cover of the Queen David Bowie classic duet Under Pressure. Dave and Taylor traded off on vocals, and Roger played drums, and on keyboards was John Paul Jones. It was, frankly, I watched the video, I got chills. Dave himself said, you're watching the Foo Fighters live out the rock and roll fantasy right here in front of your eyes. Here's a little piece, if you haven't seen the clip yet, here's a little sound from Foo Fighters doing Under Pressure.
I feel like that clip did it justice, maybe.
No, it really doesn't. But check it out for yourself. You can see it on YouTube. It's really remarkable. And Taylor, by the way, singing Freddie Mercury's part just kicks ass. Really acquits himself well. And, of course, Dave doing Bowie. So, good stuff. Congratulations to Amy Duggar of the reality show 19 Kids and Counting. She got married this weekend.
She was very happy, very excited to get her first kiss up there at the altar. If you don't count it, Josh.
Ralph.
You're a terrible human being.
Her favorite thing about the wedding was her dress. I love everything about it, she said about her wedding dress. I would wear it to the grocery store. I might be that bride where I'm wearing it to the grocery store and to the gas station. I might bowl in it. I'm sure you will. Mm. If you are at the gas station in your wedding dress, Amy, however, don't ask Bean for half a gallon of gas. We know how that will turn out.
How dare you?
Yeah. Apparently, everything went well until Josh tried to get her garter off.
Why?
It was not a pretty sight. He was not invited to do that. He just took it upon himself. Today's celebrity birthdays. Martin Freeman is 44 years old today. How much do we love Martin Freeman?
Well, he's the best.
He's always good in everything that he does. Trying to think. What's the Christmas Love movie that they show because of the British?
Love Actually.
He's great in that, too. The best movie ever. All right.
Next to The Holiday.
Steady.
That list.
It's a lucky list.
I had no idea I was going to open up that can of worms.
Man.
But like you said, if he had just done The Office or he had just done Lord of the Rings or he had just done Sherlock, he would be a treasure. But he's done them all.
Fargo!
Let's not forget Fargo! For God's sakes. And I'm so in love with his wife, too, by the way. Amanda Abington, the actress, who's also on Sherlock.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know.
It's a problem. We're trying to get that fixed.
Yep. That mic still works.
It's still on.
Who do we have to talk to?
How do we disconnect?
Can we get Don on the phone and see what we can do about pulling that plug? David Arquette's 44 years old today. Pink turns 36. Wiz Khalifa is 28 years old. And Avicii. Hey, Avicii, how's it going for you, Avicii?
Still not Italian.
That's a spicy meatball, Avicii.
Still not Italian.
I can't believe I ate the whole thing, Avicii.
Still not Italian. Swedish.
He's poorly named. He's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph, I have a question for you, and that is, are we sad today that Bachelor in Paradise is over, or are we happy and grateful for the wonderful ride that it took us on?
I'm sad for so many reasons, that just being one of them. But mostly I'm just sad because Carly and Kirk couldn't make it work. I mean, come on.
If those two crazy kids can't make it work.
If Carly and Kirk, if that love doesn't last, if those two can't be together, there is no love. I'd go as far as say there is no such thing as love. That's what I'm saying.
Let's bring in your cohort in crime for the Bachelor in Paradise report, as we do every Tuesday morning on the Kevin Amici Show. Hey, Petros Papadakis, how are you, sir?
Hey, everybody. Good morning. And love exists. It's real.
Love exists. It's real. Wow.
But P, Carly and Kirk.
Hey, you know what? Look, we all got to make this decision. We've all been to summer camp. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And we've all had to say goodbye for the summer.
Right.
And we all have had a hard time envisioning bringing back a girl to the United States from reality TV and saying, hey, this is the girl I met on reality TV. Accept our love to the people you know. You know, we all have to weigh those options out. And Kirk had to weigh those options out. And it crushed Carly like a carbiner. I mean, it was bad.
But the things he said to her, I'll go to your brother's wedding reception with you, and I got plenty of room in my house, and we've got room for kids. I've already got a big house. I mean, come on, you don't have to go that far for a summer romance, do you?
You know, he got caught up in the moment. We all say things we don't mean, and remember the alcohol fueling all these conversations, Ralph. I mean, we got alcohol pumping into this thing like oil pumping into Saudi Arabia.
You men are all alike, Pete. You're all alike. Well,
all right. Well, let's find out what
happened.
You never
lied to a girl. You never told a girl a promise that you knew you couldn't keep right when you were saying it, but it just felt so good to say it in the moment because you were having sex or something.
Not about children and wedding receptions.
Fair enough.
All right. I think we're too far in.
Yes, we are. Baby.
All right. So what happened, Ralph? Lay it out for us.
Carly and Kirk broke up, Bean. I don't know if you got that from what we've been saying or not.
She was so smug. You know, she was walking around like she was Princess Diana about to get married. I mean, she felt secure in her love.
Right, because they had the successful couple relationship on the show, and everyone else was still vying for roses and trying to make their relationships work. And Carly was like, oh, it's so nice to be secure because I know that our love is for real and forever.
It's like you guys at the radio station, right? You know, all these people scrambling around trying to hold jobs, and you're just sitting like, you know?
So there are four couples left after this debacle, and Jade, rightly so, says, if those kids can't make it work, we're all now rethinking our true love.
You ruined this for everyone. There's not a single person here who's not going to think about it today.
they look at that breakup and say, we could break up too. What are we going to do? We need to reevaluate. And that's when Chris Harrison steps in, genius that he is, and gives them all an overnight date to spend one last evening in paradise together. And Sam and Samantha and Nick, they got together in the fantasy suite, and they just met like a minute ago. Justin and Cassandra. That Cassandra, by the way, she's so hot.
But she's so, got a needle nose.
No, stop it. She looks like Marina Baccarin. She's got
her nose looked like the plane I had to fly into rural West Virginia yesterday.
She says no to Justin. She says no to Justin in the fantasy suite. They don't sleep together in the fantasy suite.
I thought they all wanted to find love.
Well,
that's why I don't like the fantasy suite. I mean, what do you think the percentage of sex in the fantasy suite is, Ralph?
100?
That's not true, and you know it.
All right, 99?
Pete, why do you hate love?
And sex, apparently. Tenley and Josh, they slept together in the fantasy suite. And Tanner and Jade, they got together in the fantasy suite. And they shared more than just bodily fluids, my friend. They shared their feelings with each other and some of the loudest kisses in television history. Tanner and Jade admitted that they had actually fallen in love in paradise. Oh. They were truly in love with each other. And I think as tentative as Jade was, she was happy to be able to tell Tanner she loved him.
It's really hard to say the words. I love you too, Tanner.
Wow.
Oh, loud.
That's the loudest kissing I've ever heard.
Turn
That's
it
a lot
down.
Of loud kissing going on.
Well, you kiss, haven't known each other 2 weeks, right, Ralph?
Yes, but they're in love.
Maybe a month, guys. I mean, let's give them the month.
All right. All right.
But Jade was like a girl who posed in Playboy, yeah. And her brother from Nebraska described her as a wild Mustang,
yeah.
You know? All of a sudden, she's like this dowdy, like plain Jane on this show, all in love with Tanner, who looks like a dorky Jonathan Silverman. I mean, I don't get it.
When a wild Mustang meets the right rider, P, they get broken.
You are on one today.
Yes, he is.
Then Chris Harrison shows up after all the dates have been had and says it's the final rose ceremony. But it's not just a rose ceremony. It means so much more. Chris, please explain.
Our time in paradise is coming to an end. It's the final rose ceremony. But this rose ceremony is different. The roses today are taking on an added significance.
Right.
Giving a rose today will be the most important commitment you will make in paradise.
Yes.
Giving a rose today means you are committed to a life together outside of marriage, kids, the whole thing.
Yes. If you give someone a rose, you are committed for life.
For kids as well?
If you don't comply, the bachelor police will show up at your home and put you in some sort of federal holding facility.
That rose is too powerful.
I don't know about, you know, laws and international laws and what crosses over to the states and what Harrison's jurisdiction is. I know anybody with hands smaller than an infant, he can tell him what to do.
Stop it.
But, his jurisdiction is love, Pete.
But I don't really know if anybody's actually beholden to
they
that.
They are. It's a commitment. You give a rose, you're there for life. So that comes the final ceremony. And Cassandra and Justin get together. And yes, they accept each other's rose. And now they are no longer seeing each other. But
wait,
that's besides the point.
I thought the rose meant that you were stuck for life.
I think Cassandra likes the brothers. I don't think she's interested in Justin. A little too pale. A little too pale.
Like a Kardashian?
Well, you know, just her baby daddy was an NBA player. She was a dancer. She was an NBA dancer.
All right.
But wait a minute. The players aren't supposed to fraternize with those dancers. That's
true.
A real no-no.
That's true. Sam and Nick, they traded roses. As far as we know, they're still together.
Okay.
Then Tenley and Joshua. And Tenley, the only woman on the show, apparently with some sort of modicum of common sense, said, "This is insane. You live in Chicago, in Idaho. I live over here in the West. We're never going to see each other again. Why are we pretending?" And she calls it off.
"I just know that if we tried, that it would be so hard, and we'd get to a point of like, well, now we either break up or one of us moves. And I just see where that would go. It would be one of us would lose a piece of ourselves, and then we wouldn't be in love for the same reasons that we fell in love, because a piece of that person would be missing."
Okay, I'm confused. There's a lot of pieces there being removed and put back together again. But
she's a good actress. She emotionally got herself out of it. But I'll tell you who the culprit in that relationship's death was, Ralph.
Tell me.
Idaho. Bro.
I know.
You know, if he was like Nashville or Dallas or Houston, she'd be like, "Yeah, you know, I'll make it work. I saw Dynasty, you know."
But Idaho was the deal breaker, you
Mark
think?
Furman's the only guy that lives in Idaho, believe me. I've been to Idaho like 20 times. Every time I'm on a freaking plane with Mark Furman.
You better be careful he doesn't plant anything on you, man.
He looks pissed.
Of course, he lives in Idaho. Why wouldn't he be pissed? And then finally, the last couple, Tanner and Jade, and they get together. And they've been another couple who've been in love. We heard the loud kissing, right,
sure.
in the fantasy
yeah,
suite, yeah. Admitted their love to each other. That's why we're all shocked, shocked, I tell you, when Tanner said to Jade, I cannot give you this rose. My heart stopped for a beat.
My wife gasped.
Audibly?
Audibly gasped.
Here's what happened.
I can't give you this rose today. Because what we have is worth so much more than a rose. Than a million roses. I love you, Jade.
And he pulls out the Neil Lane engagement ring, boys and girls.
Yeah, they had to line up. They had to line up a giant pile of cocaine to get Neil to come down to Mexico.
Pulled out the big diamond, put it on her finger. Engaged.
Wow.
Tanner and Jade engaged in love. They will be kissing loudly for the rest of their days because they found true love in paradise. And it did this old heart of mine proud to swell up as I saw their love.
P, were you happy as well?
No. What's going to happen when she shows up with Billy Ray Cyrus in the middle of the night and Tanner's all shocked? She's a wild Mustang. That just doesn't go away because you spent a month in Mexico with some nerdy guy
Why
and you wanted to feel above the other people who were scrambling for love.
Why do you hate love?
Yes. And why is Billy Ray Cyrus coming into the picture?
She's confused. A wild Mustang.
Oh, that's right. Of course, yes.
You know, who do you want me to say? Woody Harrelson?
The one question that I have that's left over from the season, I don't know that I heard answered, was did Ashley ever lose her virginity on the journey?
No. Ralph decided not to concentrate on this because it was just a big much ado about nothing.
Oh, really? Okay. Something on the Bachelor in Paradise was a big thing?
Look, she never shut up. I don't care if she's the hottest chick in the world. She never shut up about being a virgin. I don't know who's ever going to have sex with her.
Yeah.
She has to pay a dude.
It's much too big a thing now to have to circumvent. But right. Jared did spend the night with her. They did spend together in the fantasy suite. But Jared apparently decided not to take advantage, and there was no sex had. And so,
did you like how she dropped cherries into the champagne?
Oh, yeah.
That was a nice touch, huh? That wasn't disgusting or anything.
No. Right. Should we put a cherry in the champagne?
What is next? Do we go into another season of The Bachelor? Is that what's happening
next? Ben H. We got Ben H. coming up this fall.
We're done for the year.
No, we're not done.
Come on the show and the rest of 2015.
Oh, P's backing out.
I'm going to be talking football.
Wow.
Football, baseball, basketball, jock straps.
All right.
You hate talking about that stuff.
I need a new co-host. I'm going to get Jenny Molin on the phone.
No, it's 2016. 2016, I just said the rest of the year. We got Ben, who's got the personality the size of a thimble. This is going to be rough.
Doesn't he start in this fall, though?
Yeah, no, it's 2016.
Oh, it doesn't come until next year.
Oh, that's going to be such a long time.
I looked this up.
You looked it up. Well, I'm just I got no reason to live now. Now,
wow,
thanks a lot.
That hurts.
Let's pick a new show. What do you want? Let's do Dance Moms.
P, it was great to have you co-hosting with the Bachelor in Paradise Report. Look for the Petro Somebody show this afternoon at AM 570 LA Sports. Thanks, Ralph Garman. Super fun.
The Bachelor in Paradise.
Very exciting to have our favorite fall shows back on the air. One of them debuts for season two tomorrow night on the FXX Network. Ladies and gentlemen, talking You're the Worst. Stars of the show, Aya Cash, Chris Gere, in studio with us here on the Kevin Beecher. Hey, guys.
Morning.
Very exciting to see you guys. I know you're thrilled to have the show coming back. Was there a moment, as there are so often on cable TV shows, where you wondered if you would get the call for a second season?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
We were terrified. There was many a sleepless night about whether or not we would have season two, because nobody watched our show. Hence being on the radio and telling people to watch our show this year.
What do you mean? No, obviously somebody watched the show or they wouldn't have brought it back for a second season. They must have seen something they liked.
Yeah, but we had low numbers in terms of, I mean, we're definitely not like a TGIT show, and we had low numbers, and it was really the
critics. I didn't realize how big ratings were over here, because in England it doesn't really matter. If they make the series, they put it out, whatever. You know, the ratings are like...
That's a weird thing. Is that true?
Yeah,
why?
Just you and your grandma watching it. You know, although they'll put out the whole series anyway. But over here, it's
that explains why there are so many gardening shows on British television, doesn't it? Because it doesn't matter if anyone's watching it.
And cookery shows.
I'm just so surprised. I guess it's because the circles that we run in. But your show was such a buzz show. You know, it was one of those word of mouth shows that we heard about from so many people. They're like, oh my God, you have to check this out. But I guess that just shows that's a self-selecting audience.
Yeah,
the people
well,
we hang out
the
with.
Smart, interesting, and well-informed people.
Yeah, right. That's
so if you
like.
Haven't seen it, it says more about you than it does about us.
Now, the thing about You're the Worst, tell me if I'm saying this incorrectly, but the thing about You're the Worst is there are a million shows about young love, about relationship shows. But a lot of those romantic comedies really turn people off because they don't seem realistic. Your show is really kind of more realistic for a certain type of relationship than we've seen on TV. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I think there's a formula that TV and romantic comedy films have been following for the past however many years. And I think people are just a little bit bored with that. And to find a fresh look at it by looking at these people who are, you know, they appear unlikable at the beginning becomes relatable for people because they can go that, you know, the bottom line is however horrible you may seem on the surface, everyone's deserving of love. Mm-hmm. So however flawed they are. So.
Also, we're not that young.
Yeah, we're pretty past it.
It's a bad idea. Is it a bad idea in real life to for these characters to date each other? If they were real people, would you advise them to stay together or no?
I would say they have to stay together so they don't inflict themselves on anyone else. I mean, I think they actually are perfectly matched for each other.
What's that line in the first season at the end?
Two pit bulls, you know, who would destroy any other dog, but together they're couch buddies.
Aw, yeah. It's delightful.
Oh, I didn't write that.
They are awful people in their own way, though, aren't they?
Yeah, completely. I mean, they're narcissists and they're destructive to themselves and others. But you see, I mean, they do things to each other that would destroy other relationships that don't even faze each other. You know, sleeping with other people turns into a game of competition as opposed to a reason to break up in season one. So yeah, I just think they're perfectly matched.
I like that you're playing pinball during that conversation and you just never look up.
We discovered I'm a terrible pinball player. They were like, just get the score high enough that it doesn't look like you're actually like dealing
but
with
you're
mental
talking,
issues.
You're talking to each other about sleeping with other people and you won't look up from the game because you're both playing.
Oh, yeah, and I remember
the
script supervisor came over to me at one point and said, yeah, you were doing three taps during that line and two taps on the next take. I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm an actor. All I can do is talk.
I'm not good at this game.
Yeah. Talk and play pinball? No, that's advanced stuff.
When you guys got hired, I'm fascinated with the process because of the kind of show it is and knowing how intimate so many of the scenes are. The chemistry had to be essential between you two. I'm sure you guys both read with other actors and actresses as well. Did you know when you guys met that this was going to be the one that worked?
Nope.
I didn't know. I think the whole process of
still not sure.
Not even close.
Yeah,
the whole process of auditioning, and especially you know testing, which is a thing that we don't have in England either, which is you know quite a daunting process. You're both so terrified about you know whether you've done a good enough a performance anyway that I wasn't aware of you know trying to create chemistry. But I think the rule is that you cannot Mm-mm. create chemistry. You have it or you don't. But what I've later realised is that chemistry actually comes from, I believe, from the people involved being as passionate about the project as each other. I mean, Ira and I, we get together, we work through scenes, we talk through stuff, and we want to get the best out of the scene. And with Stephen on set every day, which is a blessing, you know, we'll work out the best way to get it right. And if we tell the story the way it was intended and the way it was written, then hopefully the chemistry has come from that. But the response has been amazing. So,
and anytime your co-star makes you better, it's good for everyone.
And Aya especially is just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Watching her take after take give me something new to react mm-hmm. to is you know it makes my job very easy. And
Aya, now you have to say something nice about Chris.
<There you go. laughs>
I know it's hard. Dig deep. Come on, you're an actress. You can pull this off.
I mean, he's really tall. That's nice.
No. Do you feel like you have a TV boyfriend, Aya?
Absolutely. And yeah. I feel incredibly protective of him in on screen and off. You know, we're married in real life to different people than each other. So there's it's a very respectful, deep friendship. But I do like, you know, if there's for example, in season one, you know, when he sleeps with the celebrity, you know, I was like, what's he doing? What's he doing? I got more upset than Gretchen did. What is he doing? Don't touch that girl. Don't touch her feet. Yes. So I get jealous. I've left him notes in his trailer when he shot things with other scenes, being like, dirty cheater.
Just cheater written on my that trailer wall.
Awesome. I think I'm scared of you.
Yeah, no, I'm a very unjealous person in my real life and my real relationship, so I think I get to enact like crazy B. I can't say
It's kind of cool that you have so much affection for this character that you play too, though. I mean, it's cool that you're invested in it, you know?
Yeah, no, we're all disgusting actors who are like madly in love with our character.
Exactly. Talking about the TV show You're the Worst, season 2 premieres tomorrow night at 10:30 on FXX. Now, that's a programming change, right? It was FX last season, right?
Yes, and next season will be FXXX.
Oh, no. That is what I'm waiting for.
I like it. Dirtier network.
You can FXX catch up with The League, which is a
you
great
show. You can catch up with the first season, by the way. Season 1, all 10 episodes, is streaming on Hulu, but definitely be there for season 2 starting tomorrow night. More with our guests, Aya Cash and Chris Gere, when we return from You're the Worst, right after this on K-Rock. You're the Worst returns for season 2 tomorrow night on FXX at 10:30. Season 1 now streaming on Hulu. The stars of the show, Aya Cash, Chris Gere, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
So this is you're going around just spreading the word, trying to bake on the street, holding up signs, just trying to get people to tune in tomorrow night?
Yeah, it's mostly, I think, social media is just incredible these days. We can spread the word from the comfort of our own room. We've done quite a lot now, haven't we?
Yeah. I just go where they tell me. I say what they tell me. I do what they tell me. I dance when they ask
got
me
a lot
to.
Of free coffee.
I'm glad you brought up the social media. Tell me what you guys hear from your fans. Because people, I'm sure, identify with these characters, with Jimmy and Gretchen. I'm sure people have advice for you. I'm sure people have questions for you. What kinds of things do you hear?
I hear get a tan.
I mean, you're sort of white.
I am.
You're pretty white.
I'm gold. I mean, you hear a lot of like, oh my god, this is my life, and I respond with, oh my god, I'm so sorry. and a lot of response to the sort of, I think people expect their romantic comedies to be. To be silly and light and
a bit more obvious, maybe.
Yeah, obvious. And there's a certain amount of darkness in our show and reality that is unexpected in a comedy, I think. Mm. And so people have really responded to the sort of more real.
It sort of feels like your characters don't want to be in love or don't want to be in a relationship with each other, but you sort of have to.
They're doing everything they can to run away from any kind of responsibility or commitment, but then get to these points in different episodes where they accept that in order to develop, like, individually and in the relationship, they're going to have to compromise on things, which neither of them have ever really wanted to do. And that's the hardest thing ever. Mm-hmm. You know, we start season 2 on Wednesday with them moving in together. And everyone knows, and Ira and I have discussed this before, that actually it's possibly the hardest milestone in any relationship is actually moving in, because the whole dynamic changes.
It's the worst.
Everything. Yeah.
It's literally, the worst. Yeah. Literally. Because you've got to then learn how that person is in close proximity. Yeah. So every little thing is annoying.
Yeah.
So
I've left my wet towel on the bed for 10 years and suddenly it's an issue.
It's a huge problem. It's a huge problem. Yeah. I can't even imagine how you two are going to deal with each other in close proximity.
Yeah. And there's so much competition between the two of them of who can, like, avoid things the best and who can party the hardest. And so you'll see a lot of that.
I do love there was a little bit of a thread moving through your characters and also Edgar and Lindsay's characters in season 1 where they're at a certain age where they're maturing and they're growing up, but they don't want to. And they see other people getting engaged, getting married, having babies, and for some reason they think that's all bad and they want to avoid that as long as possible, which I think is a very real thing that people go through. I don't want to turn into my parents is what you think, because you want to stay young and you want to have fun. And I think that's a real – that's one of the things that's so identifiable about these characters, I think, is that's a real struggle people have.
Yeah, well, every milestone is closer to death, right? So you – if you are in a relationship, you get married, you have kids, those are like the milestones towards death in their mind. I actually think it's like the most romantic comedy because these people are avoiding it so much and I'm still doing it. And I think that's actually when people who are like, I've always wanted to get married. And
yeah,
like,
they're definitely wanting to
get
it with their
married.
Eyes open.
That's not real romance.
What's the most awkward scene you guys have ever had to film together?
Nose and vagina?
Yeah, well, after 4 days of knowing each other.
Really?
That was pretty tricky.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're like wearing like I have like a stick-on thong and pasties on.
Even
he
heard
said that
before.
Really softly.
He did, yeah.
None of our audience heard it. We had to drop that. I'm sorry to say.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
The world of the sock they put around certain man parts is something I've never experienced before.
Now, and I'm sorry. When you guys get this role and you know that that's going to happen, of course they have to run this stuff by you. Do you have like a nudity writer in your contract? You're like, okay, we'll do it. But
I got a nudity writer right before we started shooting, and I was like, excuse me, what? Nudity? I had no idea it was even possible. And they were like, we can show side boob and booty. And I was like, okay, I'll do side boob, but show his booty. And sort of was my nudity writer. But they were very respectful. They also, do you remember Jordan, who's the director of the pilot?
Director.
And Steven, like, took out dolls at one point in the meeting with us to, like, show us the positions we were going to be.
Really?
Oh, they actually had a transformer and a dinosaur. showing us what we were going to be doing.
Were you the dinosaur? Yeah,
I know. I was like, I'm
clearly the transformer.
Chris, is there anything like your show on British TV? Is this very foreign to you to see this show?
I think I can't any that I can compare it to instantly, which is a great thing. I think comedy has really changed in England in the last few years. I mean, I think the Office and Extras and Ricky Gervais and all that kind of stuff really changed comedy in the UK, and they're following that kind of that theme. But there is nothing that I can say is like You're the Worst, which is why I really want it to go over there. Everyone keeps asking me, you know, when's it going to go to England? Because I think it will go down really
well.
Are
you in charge of that?
I hope so. Yeah.
That'd be great.
They should put me in charge of it.
Catastrophe has been compared to us a lot, but they came second, so they don't count.
Yeah. They don't count.
But they're good.
That's a funny show.
It's a really funny show.
I've seen too much of Rob Delaney's booty. I'll tell you that on that show.
And Sharon Horgan, have you heard of her before?
Well, we're close with Rob, and he has told us that she's a national treasure over there.
She really is. Everything she's involved in, like writing or producing or acting-wise, has just been such a big hit. She's incredible. I'd love to work with her one day.
We are in our final minutes with Aya Cash and Chris Gere again talking about You're the Worst, premiering Season 2 tomorrow night on FXX at 10:30. What are you excited about people seeing on Season 2, things that you know are coming that we haven't seen yet?
Sunday Funday.
Comes
back.
Kevin, your favorite.
Oh,
yeah.
Kevin hates Sunday Funday.
It's
Sunday Funday to the nth degree.
I love the scene. I've seen just a video highlight. I don't know when is that.
When will it be? It will be.
Well, this is the return
Halloween.
Of Sunday
it's
Funday.
It's the return of it, right?
Yeah. Return of Sunday Funday will be our Halloween episode.
Well, here's what drives me crazy. Funday, not a word. So the fact that it rhymes is stupid.
If Bootylicious can get into the dictionary, I think Funday will end up.
And amazeballs.
Yeah. Right.
But Kevin, you're still cool with dads and grads in commercials,
no, I'm
right?
Tired of rhymes. Stop it. Stop it, people. It doesn't make it good because it rhymes.
All right. So 13 episodes for Season 2, I heard. Is that true?
13, yeah.
Beginning on Wednesday.
Okay.
I can't wait. And I think all the support that people have shown towards the characters, just to see them all develop and to share that with all the fans is going to be great.
And so I would say about midway through the season, I think things start to change and grow in a way that you're not going to be expecting.
Oh, grow like in your belly?
Oh, my God, I'm having a baby. No.
You're the Worst. Tomorrow night, 10:30 FXX. Don't miss it. Aya, Chris, awesome to meet you. Thanks so much for coming in. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you,
guys. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:55.
What about Uriah Faber, the California kid himself, joining us in studio coming up after 9? What about that?
Yep.
Yep.
Lots to talk to him about. with Ultimate Fighter coming back and with the fight this weekend. That's coming up. Ralph's got the showbiz beat now on a Tuesday. What's happening?
Rejoice, believers. War Room, number one at the box office this weekend. But a marriage that's rescued by Jesus. Jesus comes back and he becomes a marriage counselor. It's a wacky comedy.
Is that how it's
sitting there in his robes with a pad and a pencil saying, how do you feel about that?
I don't think that's
says
the storyline.
That'd be a great film, though. Yes, get my agent on the phone. Trademark that idea. Dr. Jesus.
I like it.
I got so many, man. They just come spilling
they
out
do.
Of me.
It's crazy.
No, so many ideas.
No stars in this movie at all, right?
Just
no
Jesus.
Advertising.
Just God. How about that for a star?
It's
how would you like
star.
Him to be in your movie? This is the faith-based film, of course, that is number one at the box office. Over 4 days over the holiday weekend, made $12.5 million, made it number one. Here's the thing.
Jesus.
It's not, Jesus was there, of course. It's hardly fair, because here's what happens a lot of the time. Churches buy out entire theaters.
That don't go?
Well, that's the thing. You don't know how many people are actually in the seats. But they will rent, they will go, and they will buy up all the tickets to every show.
Interesting.
And then hand them out to the flock. So I think it's kind of, the numbers are kind of inflated. But still, can't take it away from them. Can we?
I don't know. I don't know the rules on whether you
can we call the vice president of show business and see what he says about that?
I'm not sure.
Straight out of Compton.
Get down on the phone.
Get down on the phone. Straight out of Compton was second. A Walk in the Woods. Nick Nolte and Robert Redford walking in the woods. I want to see that movie so badly. If you said that to me a year ago, I'd say, what? But now I'm like, now I'm in.
You don't want to see
I want to see Nick Nolte drinking out of a canteen, just sitting by the fire saying, why the hell are we out here in the woods? I'm in toilet paper out here. He's just confused and he's just addled and he's just sitting by a fire. He doesn't even know he's in a movie. He's just sitting there just staring into the fire. Redford has to poke him with a stick to get him to say his lines.
It's funny that Robert Redford is almost 80, and he probably looks so young in this film compared to Nick Nolte.
If you're going
to
cast somebody opposite you, Nick Nolte's the guy, right?
Yeah, I guess,
sure.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but friends who have told me that parts of his body literally fall off while he's walking in the room.
That doesn't seem ideal.
No, it wasn't even a special effect. Like, a toe would drop, and then a tooth while he was talking would just fall out of his head. He's literally disintegrating in front of your eyes throughout the entire
film. That doesn't seem good.
Sounds awesome. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation was fourth. I saw that this weekend. Loved it. Transporter Refueled was fifth. Now, Kevin, you teased us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You promised us a little Transporter Refueled review. We don't have much time here, but I think we can carve out a minute to hear what you thought.
I see a lot of crappy movies.
Yes, you do.
Everyone agree on that?
Oh, yes.
I know how to lower my expectations so that a movie that has hot chicks and good action.
And fast cars.
So many louds.
A lot of louds.
All you want is louds. That's all you care about is louds.
Right. So I lowered my expectations and I went into that movie and it's the worst piece of S I've ever seen in my life.
Come on.
It was stupid, even for stupid bad action movies. They had a guy that was on a jet ski in the ocean. I swear to God, this is true. He's on a jet ski. He pulls up on the jet ski, flies through the air. This looks like samurai cop crap. And goes right into a truck and kicks the guy driving out of the wheel. You go, no! Even me with long spinners, I go, no, come on!
You're screaming that in the theater?
So stupid.
Was it dumber than Jason X?
Oh, Jason X was, at least Jason X knew it was bad. This was terrible.
What if the guy had run the jet ski into a really clean piece of glass?
That would have been funny.
And then fallen off of it.
No, I would have liked it.
Yeah.
I know
how to lower
my expectations.
Kevin, you've lost America.
For bad movies, and this was terrible.
Kevin got blarded.
Oh. Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, when you go see a movie and it's just so awful, you
can't stand
it. No Escape was sixth. Inside Out, Un Gallo con Muchos Huevos was number eight. That's a kid's movie. I saw the trailer. It looks funny. Man from U.N.C.L.E., 9th. Sinister 2, 10th. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office. I know we've been doing pretty well when we did that Kardashian ban where we said I'm not really talking about them
We didn't
anymore.
Do that well at all, but...
I almost never bring them up in the Showbiz Beat anymore.
All right.
For a solid week, I certainly didn't mention them. And since then, I've just sort of fallen out of the habit, which is great. But I had to talk about this particular story coming out of the New York Daily News. Over the weekend, apparently, Khloe Kardashian got rid of her tramp stamp, the tattoo at the base of her back, just above her butt. She made a big deal out of it, posting on Facebook, I got this bad boy when I was 16. Not so cute anymore. I should have listened to Kim when she told me, you don't put a bumper sticker on a Bentley.
Bible.
Bible. But here's the thing. Here's the reason I brought it up. This that wasn't just inane enough. The tattoo itself, a cross and a pair of angel's wings with the word daddy written on top.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
What?
That's a weird place to put it.
I know it's a tribute to her father, Robert Kardashian, but do you put the daddy tattoo in the tramp stamp position right there above your butt?
Wow. That seems like a bad choice.
And if you're her date for the evening, do you want to be seeing daddy? Unless that's your thing? And then I'm not judging. I'm just saying. I don't know if daddy is necessarily what you want to be staring at. Right?
You're kidding.
Bible. Right?
Yeah.
Daddy.
That is ill-advised.
Absolutely. Why? Not there. Daddy. Not daddy on the tramp stamp location. I don't want to be staring down at daddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless, again, that's your thing, and then I'm once again not judging.
I'll judge. That's not good.
Daddy?
Yeah.
So she had it removed, so now she's... The bumper sticker's off the Bentley. It's a big bumper. A lot of room for a sticker. That's Bentley with a wide bumper. Today's celebrity birthdays. Martin Freeman's 44, as is David Arquette. So much for astrology. Martin Freeman, David Arquette, born on the same day at the same time. Pink, 36. Wiz Khalifa is 28 years old today.
Get me. Wiz.
Hey, Wiz.
Wiz, when are we smoking? Where are we smoking later? Where are we smoking later?
Tell me.
I can do it right now.
I'm not Ubering. I got plenty of time to smoke.
He said, you tell me as he walked by, and that was the way of him saying goodbye. And Muggs was like, yeah. How about now?
See, Wiz did not understand he didn't get the memo, which is you don't engage, Beer Mug. You don't indulge his tomfoolery. Wiz was kind enough to acknowledge him and say anything. And Beer Mug has to ruin it. Can we be friends? Sad. And a legendary Italian DJ, Avicii, celebrates his 26th birthday.
He's Swedish.
Hey, for my birthday, get me a big pizza pie.
He's not a dog.
Put many candles on it. 26 candles for me. 26, which I believe is 26 in Italian.
He's not Italian. Swedish.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The California Uriah Haver.
Uriah, assistant wrestling coach at UC Davis, star wrestler in his own right, and he's absolutely ferocious.
Ferocious. They have it. That's it.
It's a tap out. Uriah Faber, the California kid. You're a winner.
I never got in any fights growing up because I wasn't like a bully, but it wasn't because I didn't like to fight. So I remember as a little kid thinking that no one could beat me up, and that kind of attitude has not only allowed me not to get in fights, but part of what's made me a champion is just the mentality of believing in myself.
I've come a long way to establish myself in this sport, and it's not over.
The California kid stands above and sits him down.
I'm not thinking a lot in the cage. I'm going off instinct.
I'm motivated out of respect, out of pride, out of, determination.
UFC bantamweight fighter Uriah Faber in city with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the coach, the captain, if you will, of season 22 of the Ultimate Fighter Team. Conor McGregor versus Team Uriah Faber. That airs tomorrow night on Fox Sports 1 with a two-hour episode starting at 7. Uriah, welcome back, sir.
What's up? Thanks for having me. That was some old-school interviews we just did, man. I was taking me back to the old school. I like that.
We like to pull the archival action for you, Uriah.
Yeah, nice little...
Our
montage.
Producer Dave was telling us when he walked you in here a few minutes ago that you possibly are the first UFC fighter that we ever had on back in the day. You came over from WEC, right?
Yeah, they had me on the little tour here. I definitely have been here before, so I'm glad that no one remembers because I didn't remember either. So let's start this over.
Oh no, we learned a long time ago that you don't say good to see you again.
Yeah,
you don't say hello, nice to meet you, because then that's a disaster.
You just say hey, good to see you.
Right, exactly.
Not again, just good to see you.
You learned the hard way.
Yeah,
that was a long time ago. How long have you been in the UFC?
Well, I think that was in the WEC, and the WEC was owned by the UFC since like 2006, so it was probably around 2007. Wow. Around that time.
Welcome back.
9 years, which is kind of crazy.
You were just a kid.
Just a baby.
Right?
Just a little baby.
How do you feel? How old are you right now? About 36, maybe?
36, yeah.
36, just, okay.
36.
How do you feel? How do you feel in your line of work? How does a 36-year-old feel?
Man, I feel amazing. Luckily, I'm a late developer. My Same. My family.
Different.
My family. Don't come just in, Allie. Don't worry. You'll get them. Hair, like the other day. I think it's Dutch
Allie,
blood.
Same.
Sam, can we get a same? Anybody?
Same.
But, yeah, I feel really good. You know, I've always been someone that was lived a healthy lifestyle kind of since the womb. My parents were religious hippies, born in a house in Isla Vista, California, and good health was a issue. I mean, it's something that we pushed from a very young age, and I think it paid off.
A lot of fighters take a lot of damage throughout their careers, and you don't seem to have taken that much.
No.
Is that accurate? I think
you're pretty accurate. I think style-wise, I'm an elusive guy, and I've been on the winning side for the most part for my entire career, so I've been lucky there. Even the fights that I've lost or haven't gone my way have been very close and not a ton of damage taken. So some bad injuries throughout time. I got a huge hematoma from fighting Jose Aldo, and I broke my hands in some fights and a couple ribs broken. But other than that, it's been pretty good.
Let's talk about breaking your hands in some fights. That's a bad mindset. To me, is crazy that you know you've broken your hand sometimes early in the fight.
Yeah.
And I mean, you just go out and throw. Because at that point, I'm like, white flag, I'm out. My hand's broken.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you have to take it as it comes. And for me, that was actually one fight in particular. I fought Mike Brown. I was for a world championship at 145 pounds. And I broke my hand 4 minutes into the first round of a 25-minute fight.
Oh my God.
I snapped one and I shattered the other. Metacarpal in my right hand, which is my power hand, and then I'm like, oh man. So I got through the break and came out, and third round I dislocate my thumb, so then I had no hands. And
I'm not quite dead yet.
Yeah, I'm like hobbling after the guy on one leg, like, you know, trying to headbutt him.
I'll bite you.
So
what the hell?
Just a minute. Hey, that's life, though, right?
No, I mean, that's not life. Not.
Yeah,
that's
not
life. That's life for you.
Like, why do you guys have a bunch of cutout small penises taped on the wall over there?
That's a great question.
I don't have the answer to that, but we do, don't we?
Yeah.
This is K-Rock. That's
why.
I don't know why that's there. Where did you develop Uriah the mental acuity to fight through that kind of pain?
You know, I'm not sure.
What keeps you going in that moment in the octagon?
You know, it's not something you really think about. It's just kind of like a mentality. I mean, I'm doing anything I can to win, and you don't like be like, I mean, I'm not going to be like, oh, my hand hurts, I'm going to stop. So,
But your hand's broken.
Yeah. People have stopped. People have stopped in those situations.
I think not most, though.
I mean,
I watch guys all the time. You know, they hurt their leg, they hurt their eyes closed, whatever. Yeah. They just keep going.
You know, it's a unique person that is drawn to the sport that we're in, and it's the type of person, for the most part, that doesn't let that kind of stuff bother them, I guess. You know,
this is the voice of Uriah Faber here on the Kevin Amin Show. We're going to talk about Team Faber, Ultimate Fighter, premiering tomorrow night on Fox Sports 1 in a minute. You were at the fights this weekend in Las Vegas. What did you think? What are your takeaways?
You know, I was very impressed with Paige Van Zandt, who's my teammate and a beautiful girl. She's just an aggressive, aggressive and talented girl, and she's only 21 years old. So I was really excited to see her perform like I know she could. And then Demetrius and Dodson, man, I feel kind of bad for Demetrius because he is such an impressive guy, but he just, you know, the fan base isn't quite there
people
for him
yet.
People
don't get it.
They don't
is
get
the
it.
Thing. They don't understand what an impressive fighter he is. People claim that fight was boring. What were you watching?
I know.
Who are these people?
He was doing, like, crazy combos, so like crawling on the ground and jumping hooks and things like that. And I mean, if you take the level of athlete that both those guys were and look at it like that, it was so impressive. So I mean, I feel kind of bad for those guys. The heavyweights had a great fight. Frank Mir and Arlovski.
Oh, take it easy with a great fight. Yeah. Holy crap. Those guys died in the first round.
They did.
They were dragging themselves around the ring. Let's be honest.
You know what?
Even Arlovski, when Joe Rogan was interviewing him, he was shaking his head no, like, that wasn't very good.
Yeah. Okay, maybe I'm biased. I guess I wasn't expecting as much as the average person from that one, but they actually threw down. And it was good to see guys those guys have been around forever. I mean, forever.
Yeah.
And still improving, really. I mean, they
How
could
old
be
do you think Frank
shape.
Mir is, by the way? I thought he was about your age, but he looked about 60.
Yeah. He is. I think he's younger than I am, and he's
no,
a grandfather.
He's not.
What?
Yes.
He's a grandfather?
Yeah.
No.
What?
He's 36. Oh, my God.
He doesn't look so much older than
I
that?
I thought he was 54. God bless him. God bless him.
Oh,
look,
Mir.
Look, we don't hate him.
We don't hate him at all. No. We like him.
Yeah. No, we like Frank. We've had him on the show a bunch of times. We like him.
He was pretty tired.
But he was super slow, yeah.
He looked extremely heavy compared to usual. What was that?
I don't know. He did look bigger.
Well, that was maybe he was running around with all the grandkids, taking them to get happy meals and stuff right before the fight.
Cream,
maybe
that.
All right, let's take a quick break. UFC bantamweight fighter Uriah Faber of the California Kid in studio with us here on the Kevin Amin Show tomorrow night on Fox Sports 1. It's the Ultimate Fighter. Team McGregor versus Team Faber. Looks like a lot of fun. We'll get all the details on that when we return right after this on K-Rock. Uriah didn't want to mess up that beautiful hair by putting those headphones on. Man. You got a good head of hair, Uriah, for all UFC fighters. I think you may have the best head of hair out
there. Thank you.
Dude.
You know, it's unpredictable, though, because I don't comb it very often. So
it just looks like that automatically?
So I combed it this morning, but normally I just get up in the day, so my hair does a different thing like every day. It's on its own path.
It's its own mind?
Yeah.
All right, tomorrow night on Fox Sports 1, it is the return of the Ultimate Fighter. Believe it or not, season 22, you are a captain of Team Alpha Male. Conor McGregor is whatever his team is called. Now, you didn't get to pick your fighters, though, right?
No, they just handed us a team. They're like, here you go, buddy. Here's your team. Here, Conor, here's your team.
And they broke them up by you get the Americans and Conor gets the Europeans.
Right. And, you know, it was interesting. I do research on fighters all the time because I have a team, like you said, that I mentor, et cetera. And looking at the experience, I was a little bit shocked at the team I got and the team that he got. But, you know, when I watched my guys fight, they had a lot of heart. They had a lot of tenacity, so I could appreciate that. We have 6 weeks to work with these guys, and it was a good experience. But, yeah, it was the first time. Last time I coached the Ultimate Fighter, you got to pick. It was like he gets first pick, I get second pick, and this time they just kind of handed him over. So,
what's the difference between all of those guys in the house, which we'll see tomorrow night, especially at the beginning, and the few that make it into the sport?
Because
they all look like they're good fighters. They all seem good. But,
you know, I think – At this point especially, athleticism, like a little bit of athleticism goes a long way when everything else is equal. If a guy's got a great mentality and he works hard, etc., when you've got some natural talent on top of that and a great mentality on top of that, then those are the guys that really make it. Because just like everything, it's so mental. Like the fight game is such a mental game. How much do you believe in yourself? How smart are you in your training, etc., etc.? So, you know, it's one of those things where you're seeing some real talented guys and some guys that have just been hard workers. And at the end of the day, it's the combination of both that gets you to the highest level.
You've had a great MMA career. You've won, I don't know, 25 fights or something like that. So the guys, I'm sure they come in, they got a lot of respect. They're going to listen to you. But how tough is it to teach people what they need to learn in the UFC, in the Ultimate Fighter? How tough is that to teach?
Well, the thing that you have to remember is these guys are fighting. They're coming off a fight to get into the house, and then they're fighting possibly every 3 to 4 days, depending on this, like who gets picked. So it's hard to make big leaps and bounds in a short period of time, but I feel like there's some things that the team need to know in general, and then everything else is very individual because we're dealing with guys. Some guys are kung fu, karate, you know, kickboxing backgrounds with hardly any grappling, and then you got the grappling guys that don't know the stand-up, and then you got the well-rounded guy that is a little bit of everything but needs to work on athleticism, or, you know, there's differences. So, you know, it's just kind of an interesting thing to look at. Some guys didn't need a lot of coaching and some needed a lot. Some guys picked things up really easily, and some people it was hard work to get them to learn some fundamentals. So it's just very individual.
The other coach, Conor McGregor, is maybe the best trash talker in the UFC.
Yeah.
Is great. I love to watch him fight. I think if I was coaching against him, he would be a giant pain in the ass.
You know, I'm not a guy that's known for
I'm
trash
Bean, by the way. The guy that just said that was Bean.
Kevin.
The guy that he's known for trash talking, but he's just being real. And I'm quick witted as well. So, you know, it's not my go-to thing, but I can play in that world all day, and that's kind of how this season went. I mean, there's a ton of back-and-forth banter. When we're in each other's presence, we're talking to each other, and I watched the first episode, and it's pretty friggin' hilarious.
Does it ever stop between the two of you?
No, it doesn't. And it gets better. I mean, the relationship was to the point where I mean, when we see each other, you just start talking crap. Like, that was it.
And
it was,
it's on the second.
It was friggin' hilarious. I watched the first episode, and I'm like, I didn't remember saying half the stuff, but they got every bit of the conversations we were having and highlighted him in there. It's like I would say something like, oh, what's this guy's name? What's his nickname? Like, Connor has one of his best friends on there. And on the European team, and so I'd just say something under my breath like, oh, what's his nickname, the torso? And he'd be like, nah, it's the hammer. And then, you know, and then they like make sure they splice that in there, you know.
They put in subtitles so we can.
And I'm like, wow, they got every little nook and cranny of what we're saying in this show. It's pretty funny.
That is fun. Ultimately, will you guys fight? Like sometimes happens with the coaches?
I think we probably will. I mean, I actually came up in weight class and fought Frankie Edgar just to put myself in the mix for an opportunity to fight, you know, a big name guy like that. Because I've been, you know, like we talked about, one of the first guys in here in this show. I've been one of the main draws for the lighter weights for a long time, and I haven't really had a ton of guys with notoriety. So for me, that's an opportunity. And that's why I'm willing to jump up and wait. I'm willing to go down and wait for the big fight. So I think it's something that could happen in the future.
He's fighting Aldo next or no?
He's fighting
Aldo next.
Yeah.
Who's going to win that fight?
I've always leaned towards Aldo in these fights because he's definitely the more well-rounded fighter. I think his ground game is better than Connor's. He's going to be a little bit faster. But Connor's got that power, and he's a very seasoned striker himself. And he may have gotten in Aldo's head a little bit. Like,
oh, really?
Like when you see these guys around each other, the body language, etc. You know, I feel like Connor has a slight edge in the mental game, but Aldo hasn't lost in what, 11 years,
something like 10 years. Years. Yeah.
And that's a strong mentality. No matter how he carries himself, it doesn't matter. The guy hasn't been beat up. I mean, the closest he got to getting beat up was against Chad Mendez, and Chad is a tough guy. We didn't get to see the real Chad against Connor, obviously. He had a 2-week training camp. He broke his foot 5 days into it. He's straight out of the brush hunting deer and ducks and whatever else he can do. Just take this big opportunity.
As you do, you know.
And he basically is a guy that, you know, is very tough. So see Aldo go against him the way he did and have the fight he had against him.
That first round, my God, I was like, my God, Connor's going to lose.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you should have seen Dana Lorenzo. I mean, I was watching the body language. They look like somebody just took a dump on their dinner table.
The
McGregor versus Team Faber starts tomorrow night on Fox Sports 1. The finale is going to be taking place on Friday, December 11th in Las Vegas. That's the night before you'll be fighting at UFC 194 at MGM Grand. We didn't know this until this morning.
No,
you're on the bill that night.
I'm actually on the same card, I believe.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
You should look into that.
Yeah.
Putting it out there.
That'd be good to know. Yeah. Am I fighting? I mean, what the heck am I going to be doing?
Who are you fighting?
I'm fighting a guy, Frankie Sionez, and he's a wrestler out of Arizona. He's on a 5-fight win streak, tough dude. And I had a couple guys that didn't take the fight.
So you're out there going, hey, I want to fight, and they say no?
Yeah. Like, it was actually Brian Carraway and I were supposed to fight on the finale of the Ultimate Fighter the night before as the main event. Now it's Frankie Edgar and Chad Mendez. But he didn't take the fight, and so they're having trouble finding guys to fight, and Frankie stood up, said he'll do it, and I appreciate that. It's going to be a good one.
All right.
And I think that's on the same card as Aldo McGregor, but I'll check on that. I've been busy, man.
I don't feel like you have a full command of the calendar.
What's going on?
I do not. I'm going to call Candy. And she's the one that tells me what to do.
All right.
She's the one texting me this morning like, hey, are you up? Are you up? Are you up? I still need to text her back. Yeah, I'm up. So bad.
Mariah's got a TV show. He's got that hair to take care of.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually doing my first movie here coming up with Craig Robinson.
What?
And I'll be filming in Georgia starting October 2nd, a movie called Beach Pizza. So I'm excited for that. It's going to be a really good. I can't talk too much about it, but it's going to be over the top comedy. It's pretty funny.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah,
congratulations, Uriah. We love having you in. Let's do it like every 8 or 9 years. What do you think?
Let's do it, guys. We'll try to remember this last time. And, you know, I do remember being in the I don't know if it was this room, but I do remember being on the show. So thanks for having me again, and we'll do it again. Hopefully,
our pleasure.
Before whatever fight you might fight.
Fight or someone else will be fighting. Hopefully some of my younger guys that are just teenagers will be fighting for championships at that time.
There you go. Thank you, Uriah. We appreciate it.
You got it.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:43.
Ralph is here. It's time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Hey, Australia, get over it.
All right.
Amber Heard was due in court yesterday to explain how she smuggled those deadly dogs into Australia.
What's wrong with them?
You know, they have very strict regulations to keep dogs out of their country, Kevin.
Would you say that's crikey?
The animal must spend at least 10 days.
Right.
But Amber brought her and Johnny's Yorkshire Terriers, Pistol and Boo, in on the couple's private jet with no quarantining. So she was supposed to show up in court yesterday and face the music for her deadly game of canine roulette.
Australia!
Look, if convicted, Amber... she can face 10 years in prison.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
I think Amber Heard should be allowed to do whatever she wants to do. But I can understand that you don't want animals brought in that haven't gone through the proper procedures.
Right, right.
You don't want to bring, you don't want somebody to bring a rabid dog in.
It's Johnny Depp's Yorkshire Terriers. Let me tell you, it's not. They're not rabid dogs. They flew in on a private jet. I'm pretty sure they're okay.
I think you're probably right.
Right. So, Australia, let it go. She didn't show up for the court date. Color me stunned. So now they're moving it to November the 2nd. They've rescheduled. Let it go, Australia. She's not coming to your court. Hey, listen. Australia, I'm talking to you. She's not coming to your courtroom. She's not going to face these charges. You're just going to have to just move on.
I don't think they can hear us in Australia.
No. Here, let me speak their language.
What are you saying there?
Saying, while they're busy stalking Amber Heard, packs of rabid hyenas are slipping over the border. I'm going to build a wall and make Tasmania pay for it.
Okay.
Are they coming from the water?
Yes. You don't even know. The most dangerous dogs are the aqua dogs.
That's true.
That's true. Because they've learned to survive in the ocean and on land.
Who likes the idea of the wall? I love it.
I love it. I love the wall. Hey, tonight, big debut, Stephen Colbert's show. Replaces David Letterman on CBS. Good folks over there at Colbert sent us some beverages this morning, God bless. Some cold brew coffee. Colbert, cold brew. Are you seeing the...
You having a stroke?
What's the system with getting that info in here?
Yeah, well, we all know what a big coffee drink you are, Kev, but yeah, we're keeping you out of the loop.
How dare you?
Because your mouth is too big, filled with cupcakes. How many cupcakes you had this morning, Kevin?
Well, two, but I'm saying there has to be a system whereby I can turn it down.
Oh, I see.
Right?
Would you like a cold brew
nope.
coffee? All right, there we go. We just implemented the system. Stephen's first guests will be George Clooney and Jeb Bush. He's going to put them in a... steel cage and let them just battle it out because they're diametrically opposed. So there you go. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be watching. Will you?
I don't know. Does he have a beard like that hunky Jimmy Kimmel?
He did for a long time, and then he shaved it off, famously.
I don't know much guys with beards.
Yeah, that's my policy, too, for late night.
I loved it when he shaved his beard off. He did a video segment about all the different facial hair maneuvers he could do before it was all completely gone. And at one point he had a mustache, but he just shaved out the center of the mustache and left the sides going. And his logic behind it was, what does everyone hate? Hitler. So by taking out the center of the mustache and leaving the sides, he was being not Hitler.
Anti-Hitler.
And everybody loves not Hitler. That was his theory.
I like it.
And I think he's right. So
he is one of the smartest, funniest people in the history of television, isn't he, Stephen Colbert?
In the history of mankind.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the best. Looking forward to seeing that tonight. Before I get to celebrity birthdays, I want to give away some passes to a very special event, the K-Rock advanced screening of a movie called Sicario.
Yay!
Do-do-do-do-do. Sicario. Do-do-do-do. Sicario. I like some drugs. It's Sicario. Emily Blunt, Benicio del Toro, Josh Brolin. Got an FBI agent who gets enlisted by a government task force to take on the escalating problem of drugs at the border between U.S. and Mexico. See? Now that wall sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
right?
He's a visionary, that Trump.
Sure.
For more information, you can go to sicariofilm.com. That's S-I-C-A-R-I-O. This movie is in theaters everywhere on September the 18th, but we're going to have a special K-Rock advance screening at the AMC Century City on the 15th. If you'd like to go, call me now, 1-800-520-1067, and tell Beer Mug you want passes to see Sicario. First five people.
Call now, 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
I love you too, Doto. First five people through with that phone number get those passes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Martin Freeman is 44 years old today. We love him.
He's great.
He's great in everything he does. David Arquette is 44 years old. Pink, 36 years old. Wiz Khalifa is 28. Nah, let's not play that audio then.
Get me. Wiz. Wiz, when are we smoking? Where are we smoking later?
Tell me.
I can do it right now.
He's already inside by that point.
Beer mug.
Does good work.
Sit down,
beer mug. And all morning while we were celebrating the birthday of celebrated Italian DJ Avicii.
He's not Italian.
Avicii's 26 years old today.
Still not
Italian.
Hey,
you are so old. Move out of the house already, Avicii. You come in here, you live in the basement, and mama make you all the meatball.
Swedish.
And
Swedish.
Now you just live off of us. You're a grown man, and Avicii, go out to spinning your little records and making the people dance,
He's
Avicii.
Not Italian. He's not.
Making them dance, my boy, Avicii.
He's Swedish.
I want you to be a real boy, Avicii. Come to life.
Not Italian.
Oh. And not Pinocchio.
Wow.
Mamma mia.
My one man play about Avicii and his father is not great. It's going to need a major rewrite.
I think so.
I'm thinking. He's 26 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin DeBeach, we're going to talk to Paul Scheer about The League, which is coming back. This is an exciting time. All of the TV shows are starting to come back.
And football.
And hockey.
And shows about football.
And hockey.
And hockey shows as well.
Right.
And hockey games are being telecast.
And we also have tickets on K-Rock all day long and then tomorrow morning. But all day long, listen for a Foo Fighters song. When you hear it, be the first three callers. You'll win tickets to see their shows. They have four sold-out shows in Southern California.
You have to be all three of the first three callers?
All
three will win tickets.
That's almost impossible,
so
really.
I can be just one of the three?
Yes,
then?
You can
all
be one of the three.
That would be easier for me, thanks.
So you can listen for that today, and then we've got more tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.